Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday, July 30th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, since the end of June, Delaware County has recorded the highest number of COVID-19 cases in the Commonwealth, according to new data.
All right. Delco.
Officials say it indicates that some people have stopped following the safety protocols. According to the data, Delaware County is averaging 13.3 cases per 100,000 population per day over the past week. That figure is even higher than Allegheny County, which had seen an average of 12 cases per 100,000 population. The data shows the city of Chester, along with Middletown and Upper Darby townships, lead the county in new infection rates. Upper Darby Township officials are urging its 83,000 residents to please be careful, wear masks, and wash your hands frequently. Governor Tom Wolf has not ordered the county to shut down again. Officials said if everyone practices safety to bring those numbers down, they don't expect anything like that to happen.
If Chester closes down, where am I going to summer? I mean, come on.
Stop.
That's where my home is.
Case, I did that Delaware County story specifically for you, but only, I have to even it out with something from Bucks County.
Hang on to your seats. Okay.
Six people were charged Wednesday with vandalizing and destroying police vehicles during the unrest that followed peaceful protests on May 30th, police said. Luke Manning Crossman and Stephen Mikhail Anderson, both of Levittown, Sammy Rivera and Francisco Reyes, both of Philadelphia, William Joseph Besaw of Souderton, and a juvenile from Croydon.
Francisco, that's fun to say.
Have all been charged with criminal mischief, vandalism, and theft following the incidents nearly 2 months ago. On May 30th at about 3:45 in the afternoon, Pennsylvania State Police troopers responded to Vine Street near the intersection of Broad Street and the Vine Expressway in response to peaceful protests in the city. Police said several suspects in a large crowd became violent and started damaging two marked patrol cars that were parked on Vine Street. The suspects used a scooter, hammer, skateboards, bike locks, pry bar, and other instruments to damage the vehicles, according to police. Equipment and other personal items were stolen from inside the cars. Arrest warrants for the six suspects were obtained by the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, and four of the suspects were taken into custody on Wednesday.
It's amazing because they're using tags from clothing in pictures, tattoos.
to identify them.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that clothing story that like led to an Etsy shop, like that was.
Yep.
I mean, they're doing their job.
Yes, they're doing their way, and that's tough, man, to be able to focus in on that stuff and then follow that back and find the person.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one, Steve, that was crazy how they figured it out. This is actually over at the Target on City Line Avenue.
They trashed that.
Well, it was right next to a news station, right? So they have cameras there.
Yeah.
And this guy went and picked
and did the evening news.
He picked everything up in his work van that had his name and phone number side of his van.
Are you kidding me?
Effing moron!
Wait, and the news cameras caught it?
I don't know what caught it. I saw it on camera.
Security,
yeah.
Oh my
There's
god!
There's your name, your phone number. Do for a living, you moron.
I'm glad he's a moron. I'm not mad at that at all. I'm glad that he was stupid enough to show up with his name and phone number emblazoned on his vehicle.
Right? A great white shark was tracked 50 to 80 miles off of the coast of Atlantic City on Tuesday, piquing the interest of some beachgoers. One researcher said great white sharks can travel up to 150 miles a day, so the shark is likely well north of Atlantic City by now.
Yeah, sure.
Experts said the pattern of movement is normal and no cause for concern for beachgoers in New Jersey. But when one is spotted, word travels fast, obviously. The 10-foot great white shark, known as Miss May, was tagged off of the coast of Florida last year. Her movements now tracked by OSHA Reach, an ocean research organization.
So when you are out on the beach, Kathy, do you quickly just open up your shark locating app just for the hell of it?
Well, so that's what I use.
Okay.
This exact one. Yeah, the one that's tracking Miss May is exactly what I use. So this is a pretty predictable path for the migratory path. She'll be making her way past your beaches around Montauk, New York, and up into Cape Cod area over the next week or so, said Chris Fisher, the founding chairman of OSHA Reach. On Monday, a woman was killed after being attacked by a great white shark off the coast of Maine. Officials believe it is the first fatal shark attack recorded in the state. The woman was wearing a wetsuit at the time, officials adding that the shark could have mistaken the wetsuit for a seal. On Wednesday, a shark was spotted off the coast of Long Island, New York, and while beaches were kept open. Swimming was restricted. Wow. In sports this morning. The Phillies were supposed to resume their schedule Friday night against the Blue Jays, but that series will be pushed back another day. Instead, the Phillies will face the Blue Jays in a doubleheader Saturday and play the series finale on Sunday. Game one of the doubleheader will be played at 3:07 with 25 minutes between games. For the second consecutive day, all the Phillies' coronavirus tests for players and coaches came back negative. One staff member who worked in the Marlins locker room tested positive. No Philly has yet tested positive coming out of the series against the Marlins, who are up to 16 reported coronavirus cases. According to the MLB, there was no positive cases around the league from this week's testing except for those from the Marlins. L.A. Dodgers pitcher Joe Kelly received an 8-game suspension from Major League Baseball for his role in the bench clearing confrontation in Houston on Tuesday night. Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was issued a 1-game suspension, and Houston Astros manager Dusty Baker was fined. Kelly, who threw a fastball behind Alex Bregman's head and later taunted Carlos Carrera on the way to the dugout, will appeal his suspension. Kelly was previously suspended for intentionally throwing at a hitter and was given a 6-game suspension for an incident in April of 2018 when he hit Tyler Austin of the Yankees. Under the 60-game format, an 8-game suspension would account for more than 13% of the schedule. And Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson tested positive for COVID-19, but says he feels strong and ready to go. In a social media post, Johnson said, "Over the past few months, I have tested negative after all travels, including before and after the OL Mastermind Summit 18 days ago, referencing the gathering of offensive linemen around the league in Dallas earlier this month. He continued, "I will follow all protocols and look forward to joining my teammates and coaches on the field soon." The 30-year-old has developed into one of the top tackles in the game, selected to the Pro Bowl each year of the last 3 seasons. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Thursday morning, the week zipping by. It's a beautiful thing. Next thing you know, we'll be setting you up with a bunch of vodka and bourbon from our friends at Stateside.
So more than you've ever seen, Preston.
Letter of the day, word of the week, prize, 4 handles of the vodka, gigantic bottles, and then 2 bottles of the Stateside Limited Release Bourbon. So, yay, let's give that away to you on Friday, but you need to stick around for the whole show. We do have a couple of guests on the program today. Steve O will be joining us. Steve O is always a great guest, and he's got a show coming up. It's a comedy special, actually, called Gnarly. It's available now if you want to check it out on his website, steveo.com. And it says the wildly explicit and original comedy special.
So. Oh, there appears to be some classic Steve-O horrendous stuff in this.
Well, we'll talk to him. And also, Al Roker has a book out.
Yay!
So we'll talk to Al at the very, very end of the show a little bit later on the 10 o'clock hour today. So a couple people to chat with and things to get into. We're going to break, come back in a second. I got a chunky report from the entertainment world to pass along to you, and a stupid question to give some stuff for free to you as well, just for hanging out with us. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So the stupid question prize today is a digital download of Scoob. And let's see if you can get this right. We're talking about badminton. And in what decade did the sport of badminton become an Olympic medal sport? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. In what decade did badminton become an Olympic medal sport?
I love badminton.
It is a fun freaking game.
I was cleaning my shuttlecock last night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I do that in the evening.
When the wife's out.
Yeah. So what decade did badminton become an Olympic medal sport? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. Thursday, July 30th. There are a ton of celebrity birthdays today. We'll start with a biggie. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger's birthday today. Arnold is 73 years old. We saw him not that long ago feeding donkeys in his kitchen.
He has. He owns them, I guess. He has a couple of them. He loves them. He treats them like dogs.
He does, yes. Yeah,
so. I was just, there's a series of I was telling you, Preston, about him talking about his career. His career, which was legendary in bodybuilding before he even went into acting.
Yeah.
And he was talking about also his relationship with Sylvester Stallone, which really was contentious when they were both action heroes. Yeah. And now they're the best of friends.
Oh, he just adopted a new dog, too, and he named him Dutch.
Oh, no.
10 months old. Yeah, yeah. He weighs 103 pounds, Steve. Looks like some kind of husky.
Oh, but
he just adopted a new puppy.
You know, the funny thing is that for you always assume that Schwarzenegger was like 6'8". He's just about 6 feet tall, but he just loomed large in the movies because he was so jacked.
He is 73 today. We have a lot. Let's go next to Delta Burke.
Another huge bodybuilder.
Designing women. No, not a huge bodybuilder.
What was that show, First in 10?
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
That might have been the first series on cable ever.
That with the sports agent on HBO,
Arliss,
and then there was Dream On.
Mm-hmm. So Delta Burke is 64 today. Lisa Kudrow of Friends, obviously, is turning 57.
What's the status of the reunion? They had to put it on hold because of the COVID thing, right?
Have not heard anything about that as of late, Steve, but you're right about that. So she turns 57 today. It's also Lawrence Fishburne's birthday. Always liked him.
He's great.
He is 59. I even go all the way back to
Electric Company.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
You're right. Not Electric Company. No. What was he in? He was on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, yes. He was Cowboy Curtis.
Yes.
That's right. But Boys in the Hood, man, was he fantastic in that. And then it just goes on and on. What's Love Got to Do with It? Probably one of his most impressive roles.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. You hate his guts. And then he played Perry White, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. And the Matrix movies, all that stuff. So he's 59 today. Vivica A. Fox. Yeah. She was in the Kill Bill movies. And that's what this is from, by the way.
Isn't there talk of having a sequel in which her daughter in that movie?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, that would be cool. Seeks revenge.
They purposely, you know, Tarantino did left that line in there about, you know, if you ever want to come, you know, I'll understand if you ever want to, you know, essentially avenge your mother's death.
Right,
I'll be waiting for you. So they might do that. In fact, I heard they were kicking around the name Kill the Bride. So I don't know if that's legit or not.
I hope they do it.
Yeah. So Vivica A. Fox is 56 today. Hilary Swank won an Oscar for Boys Don't Cry and Million Dollar Baby. Did she win? Yeah, she won for both.
Karate Kid 3.
She was in Karate Kid 3.
That's right.
I don't think she won an Oscar for that.
Did she win for that?
She was nominated.
Okay. Well, that's winning.
That's an honor as well.
Man, Million Dollar Baby is an amazing movie.
It's unbelievable.
And we've said many times, it takes a left turn you do not expect.
No.
Yeah, and she's 46 today. Paul Anka, the singer and songwriter, is 79 years old. Having My Baby, we always reference
Having My Baby. Yeah.
That's him?
Yeah, that's Paul Anka. He wrote the Tonight Show theme?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Ba-da-ba-ba-da. So he is turning 79 today. Tom Green, who's been by our show a number of times, is 49 today.
He's great. He was one of the first. He was an MTV darling out of the gate, right?
Yep. He did some off-the-wall kind of prank stuff that really took off.
There's a new show coming on called I Want My MTV, and it appears to be a celebration of all things in the heyday of MTV, like a retrospective.
I'd be down with
that. Yeah. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
All right.
I did hear something about that, Steve. I just don't know any of the particulars about it. I forgot who I was talking about, but it might have been in music news that some group was going to be involved in that. But Tom Green is 49 today. Christine Taylor, who is in the Brady Bunch movies. Yep, she played Marsha.
She's from the Poconos, by the way.
Is she?
Yes, she is.
So her and Sarah Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
The Wedding Singer, Zoolander, Dodgeball. She and Ben Stiller broke up, right?
They broke up, yeah.
That's too bad.
Well, the Lehigh Valley. Is that the same thing as the Poconos, Nick? Lehigh Valley?
No.
Okay. She's from Lehigh Valley.
All right. Okay.
No, Lehigh Valley's like Allentown and Bethlehem.
I just know that my friend grew up with her, and that like she, her mother, and my friend's mother are like, you know, lifelong friends.
I'd like to see that turned into a script.
She's, well, I'm working on it, Steve.
She's 49. Sid Croft, Steve.
Ah, Sid Marty Croft.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Children's TV creator. I mean some classics like H.R. Puffin stuff, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Lidsville.
Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost.
Which
yeah.
was huge.
When you were watching Saturday morning television and they ran, all their shows were like an LSD trip.
Big time.
Yeah.
He's 91 today. David Sanborn, the composer and saxophone player.
He's the sax player in the Lethal Weapon movies, isn't he? Isn't that his?
From the soundtrack?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
Quite possibly.
David Sanborn.
I just know he used to host a show that I absolutely loved in the 80s called Music Night. It was on Sunday nights, and it would have an eclectic mix of musicians together. Anybody from, people from the rock world, the jazz world, R&B, and it was just this really unique music program that I totally miss. But he was the host of that. He's 75. Jamie Presley. My name is Earl. What else?
She was in
Love You Man.
Poison Ivy, the second one. Remember
right.
those movies? And she is actually hilarious on the show Mom. They added her a couple of seasons in.
She's 43. Let's see. There's a lot of birthdays today.
Wow.
A couple of big directors. First of all, Christopher Nolan, who gave us Memento, Insomnia, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, The Prestige, Inception, Dark Knight Rises.
They had to delay wow. the...
Tenet,
yeah, again, obviously, because he wants a theater release, and you can't do it right now.
So he is 50, so a big birthday for him. And 10 years his senior, Richard Linklater, who brought us movies like Boyhood.
Kathy's favorite.
Dazed and Confused. School of Rock. You probably like that, though, Kathy, right?
Jack Black.
Did I see that?
Come you didn't on. See it? It's great. It's actually sort of atypical for a Linklater film.
I love that movie.
I don't know if I've told you guys this just because I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't love Jack Black.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
Sorry.
And, anyhow.
Why is this the first we're hearing of this?
He's
because
62.
I don't think I wanted to tell you because all I know right. how much you guys love him.
I love him.
Yeah.
Especially right. in School of Rock.
And then the last birthday is Bud Selig, baseball commissioner. And he is 86 years old today.
Yay.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. We only have one caller for this, so no. this
oh
is...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't think I ever remember a stupid question where we don't have all the phone lines lit up. In what decade did badminton become an Olympic medal sport? 215-263 WMMR. I'm going to go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Yo.
Chuck, in what decade did badminton become an Olympic medal sport?
Barney killed Tupac?
Well, yeah, we covered that the other day. We
did Barney did kill Tupac.
We
yeah.
did cover that the other day. But how about badminton?
How about the 1990s?
That is correct. So,
hey! Yeah. Oh.
Yay! All right, Chuck, hang on the line. We're going to get you info. And we're going to give you a digital download of Scoob. Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and Mystery Incorporated face their toughest mystery yet and discover Scooby. Has a secret legacy and an epic destiny greater than anyone ever imagined that's available now on Blu-ray and on digital.
Every badminton game would eventually end with someone running through the net.
Yes.
Yeah. And okay, it's broken
yep.
now.
Yep. Your yep. head would be... Because
yep.
the shuttlecock would fly so high in
right.
the air.
And you just start running.
You just start running and
yeah.
bang, right?
And the poles that held it up were as thin as like a Nothing. Pencil. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, this is unfortunate. Tracy Morgan and Megan Wallover are splitting after
what?
5 years of marriage. Yep.
What?
In a statement, Morgan told the magazine, sadly, after nearly 5 years of marriage, Megan and I are filing for divorce. This is a challenging time for all involved, so I ask that you please respect our privacy. He said that a rep for Wallover said, we can confirm that Megan filed for divorce yesterday. This is a private matter for the family. Megan's primary focus remains the best interest of the party's daughter.
What do you think the odds are that if they didn't release a statement and
no
just... Because obviously some of the paparazzi and people would find out about it, but would it have as much of a spread if they didn't release a statement? In other words, just let it get reported.
I guess it depends on the level of your celebrity because it turns into our... You know, are Tracy and Megan breaking up? You
yeah.
know, splashy headlines here and there. So,
uh-huh.
you know, I'm not sure.
Put a period on it.
So she asked the family's privacy be respected during this difficult time. The 30 Rock star and will overshare 7-year-old Maven Soné. He also shares Gitrid. I've never heard that
Gitrid.
Name. Gitrid. G-I-T-R-I-D. Gitrid. Oh. Malcolm and Tracy Jr. with his ex-wife, Sabina Morgan. And they're all adults. They're from 34 to 28 years old. So Morgan announced his engagement to the 34-year-old Wallover in 2012 on the Emmys red carpet, and they married in 2015. The ceremony came 14 months after a terrible car accident. Of course, it killed his friend and collaborator, James McNair, and left him in a wheelchair for 5 months. But
how much do you think Walmart paid out, if you were to take a guess, on that accident? Because they settled, and they settled big. They settled so big that anytime Tracy Morgan mentions Walmart, he's like, they did right by me.
Yeah.
Over $10 million, you think?
I think more.
Yeah, I think more.
They killed somebody.
Yeah, they killed his best friend.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, a lot. Ellen DeGeneres' brand is built on the phrase, be kind. And now that WarnerMedia has launched a probe into the reportedly toxic work environment she's created at her eponymous show, experts say that her career may be doomed. We were talking about some of this yesterday, but now there's some rumors of her bullying of staffers that went viral on social media. We know this after a BuzzFeed investigation that included interviews with 10 current and former staffers, prompting the investigation.
This is such a mind blower when you hear this stuff. You can't know everything about. You know, you take someone who's in the public light and you say, okay, I guess that's what they're really about. You don't know, but she seems so likable and mm-hmm. so charitable.
Though she has been surrounded by A-listers and has received incredible accolades like the Presidential Medal of Freedom, no one is speaking out on her behalf. Her list of powerful pals include Jennifer Aniston, Lady Gaga, Justin Timberlake, and Oprah Winfrey. So nobody's come to her defense yet.
No, and in fact, there are rumors that she once attempted to curb stomp Justin Guarini.
No!
Yeah.
He's so likable.
Oh, he's incredibly likable.
I love that guy.
Eric Schiffer, chairman of Reputation Management Consultants, tells Fox that she could be perpetrating one of the biggest frauds in American celebrity history.
Wow.
There are now serious investigators looking into the allegations, and if the findings are as damning as what has been reported, then you could watch Ellen's show go boom.
The bar has sort of been set recently. Yeah. We at least have to get one poop the bed story for it to be competitive, right?
Right. Yep. All right, so something similar went down with Rosie, right? Like, she was kind of like a daytime darling. People loved her.
Rosie stopped of her own volition, though.
She was shooting, you know, squeegee
cushions.
Balls.
Yeah,
her show, she was in, you know, like, the Elmo doll. It was very lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she was not that person.
Well, right. She stopped doing the show. And I know, so Joey Cole, who's a friend of mine, she was did all her warm-ups. And she was very nice to the crew.
Yeah.
When she stopped doing it, she bought Joey a fishing boat, like a 17-foot thing, but still incredibly generous. She stopped, and Joey said at that time she was being so constantly inundated with so much charity requests that every time she had to say no to somebody, she started to get terrorized by people and say, why not?
Yes. You know?
And it got to be too much on her.
I could totally see that, Steve, because if you're creating this charitable air and you're doing legitimately, then a lot of people come out of the woodwork with a handout, and you can't help everyone. And some people who don't get that handout might take it personally. That can backfire on you.
And it just wore her down. On the inside said. Right. So I don't know.
The allegations of a toxic work environment were addressed by the show's executive producers, Ed Glavin, Andy Lasner, and Mary Connelly, in a statement to BuzzFeed at the time of the outlet's report, and they took the blame themselves. They said, we are truly heartbroken and sorry to learn that even one person in our production family has had a negative experience. It's not who we are, not who we strive to be, and not the mission Ellen has set for us. The statement explained that, quote, the day-to-day responsibility of the show is completely on the producer. So they kind of took it on themselves.
I want to posit this notion, though. She is raising an army of gorillas in the jungle, and is that a kill army to seek revenge on her detractors?
It remains to be seen.
All right.
So I can't
You can't speak right now or deny.
But some say that statement won't stick about the, the producers taking it on themselves. Schiffer said, I think Ellen has been arrogant in her entire approach in dealing with the allegations, and it's crazy for her not to accept responsibility for what is happening under her leadership. In Hollywood, the buck stops at the star's name on the door.
not at the producer level. It would be impossible for her to not know what was happening within her own staff.
So you know somebody who worked with her, was her chef for the longest time, and with the feedback seemed to be good, right?
He loved them.
Yeah.
He said her and Portia were great to him. So.
I don't know. Yeah. You know, people have different, you know, different moods and things. Yeah. That's what we are.
Are there several reports or...
There are 10 people.
10 people?
Current and former staff members. That was the word. In that case, I don't have any of the details of what they said about it being a toxic work environment. All right, here's a feel-good story.
Please.
A follow-up, too, to something I had mentioned the other day. A teddy bear containing a voice message from a woman's deceased mother has been found.
Yay!
Thanks to a little celebrity help. Mara Soriano's bear was inside a backpack, which was stolen while she was moving home in Vancouver. The bear had a button which allowed Ms. Soriano to hear the voice of her mother who had died of cancer last year. Her Twitter appeal gained support from celebrities including Ryan Reynolds, who offered $5,000 in a reward for the bear's return. Also a Canadian TV personality, a guy named George Strombolopoulos, also said that he would match Reynolds' reward. And late on Tuesday night, she received a message from someone claiming to have found the bear. She met with two men in a public place, and one of them handed her the bear. And she said, I'm not going to lie, I kind of buckled. As soon as I saw him pull her out of the bag, my knees just buckled. I started sobbing, and I grabbed her out of his hands, and I couldn't let go. She said the men told her that they saw the security footage of the theft, recognized the thief, and retrieved it from him. Ryan Reynolds shared the good news on Twitter, said, in happier news, thank you to everyone who searched high and low, to the person who took the bear. Thanks for keeping it safe. Vancouver is awesome.
We have the audio from the bear, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, we do. It's precious.
Wow.
She told the Canadian press that she was going to carry the bear around for the next few days.
So. It's so cool it worked out that way, because the odds are staggeringly against that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the show's going to go on for the Emmy Awards this year, despite the coronavirus pandemic, but it's going to be held virtually. Jimmy Kimmel, who's hosting and producers of the award show, which will be on September 20th, confirmed the news yesterday. Variety reported that a letter was sent to key acting nominees. It says this year it's still going to be TV industry's biggest night out, but we'll come to you. And it's not clear exactly how it will work, but the letter says cutting-edge technology will be used as they figure out how to film the nominees and whoever else is with them at their homes or other locations. And they said, we are going to make you look fabulous.
So two things here. First off, they've been fighting diminishing ratings in general over the years. Mm. And two, any of these things that come up that are virtual, even if it's something I want to see, I forget. I forget when it's happening. I forget to watch it. And you just don't think about it.
Yep. Deadline sees the virtual ceremony as an opportunity, suggesting it could be a, quote, genuine chance to reinvent the show and maybe send a signal to other organizations as how it can be done. Because, yeah, there might be a lot of award shows in the near future that are going to have to do something like that. Well, Kendall Jenner is following in her big sister Kim's footsteps by opening up the doors to her home to Architectural Digest.
Ah, Kathy, wow.
She has become famous as the most laid-back sister in the Kardashian-Jenner clan, and her home reflects her love of avoiding the limelight when she's not on the job.
She's considered the Big Lebowski of the Kardashian family.
Okay. Yeah. Right. She's the dude.
Yeah, she is.
Kind of. So she told the magazine for the cover story, my life involves a lot of chaos and travel and high energy, so I wanted a home that feels serene, a place where I can simply zone out and relax.
Okay, we're looking at the living room. I'm sort of down with it.
Yeah, she's got a little more color than Kim's.
Yeah, if she has two colors, she has more color than Kim's house.
And it doesn't look, I mean, it looks gorgeous, but it doesn't look ridiculously extravagant.
It doesn't look...
The part that we've seen doesn't look stupid, ornate.
And antiseptic. It looks lived in. Okay, I'm giving her a thumbs up on her approach.
So the 24-year-old who has been frank about her struggles with anxiety enlisted design pros Waldo Fernandez and Kathleen and Tommy Clements.
It was my pleasure to help her decorate her house.
To help her realize her zen abode.
I said to Kim, you just gonna do one color?
Fernandez has worked with Brad Pitt, Tobey Maguire, and Goldie Hawn, while mother and son duo Kathleen and Tommy have decorated homes for Ellen DeGeneres and Adam Levine. They were surprised by her vision, as told by Architectural Digest, or they told them. They said, being who she is, we thought Kendall might gravitate towards something more flashy, more va-va-voom.
Yeah, more va-va-voom.
That's Kathleen speaking. I would say they go with something snazzy.
Snazzy.
I think we're all thrilled to discover that she has taste beyond her years.
God, I'm so thrilled.
Fernandez said there are plenty of people that we know who have traveled extensively and been exposed to so much, but don't absorb anything. And Kendall is different. She takes everything in and is confident about the things that resonate with her.
Okay, so another plus here. They go over, she has a record player, and the first record up on top of the pile is Rumors, Fleetwood Mac.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm finding her more and more likable. And I'm like,
not
a
me.
Nick, no? Look at no. you. She's in a new room with her. She's got all Batman collectibles.
Now, no. She's trying to ruin the Sixers, and I hate her forever for
okay.
that.
She does have one of these things in her house where if I ever win the lottery, I would install in my home, which is a fireplace that has two sides to the fireplace.
I love that.
Right in the middle of the wall.
I did that. I tried to make one myself. I just bored out a hole on the other side of the fireplace.
How'd that work?
That's yeah. dangerous.
Okay. Yeah.
What I would like to see is a fireplace and then a fish tank above it, right?
So you can cook the fish.
Yes!
Yeah.
Why are all my yeah. fish dying?
Yeah.
Where is this house, Preston?
Makes no sense.
You know what, Kath? It doesn't indicate.
I'm just wondering because some of the style seems very like, I don't know, like I'm thinking it's like in Arizona or something.
Yeah, I like it. Don't you like a lot of this stuff?
Yeah, I do.
You know what you can get if you do want a fireplace? I don't know if you've ever seen them, Preston. They're sort of installed in the wall. It's like a globe, like a half hemisphere, I should say,
no.
or a hemisphere. And it's a fireplace, and it's obviously gas-fed, uh-huh. but you get that sort of flame without the full fireplace thing.
Interesting.
They do these sort of cool things now with these setups, and we had flirted with the notion for a while, but after a while, so what are you going to do with it?
She has like a workshop room.
Yeah, she does.
It's a gift wrapping.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
there's video
God.
Rolling of her house while we're going through this story.
Oh my God.
So
are you gift wrapping in there?
These guys are amazed.
They have a day bed.
She's not still dating Ben Simmons though, right? Like that's over.
No, I think
that's
over.
Donovan Mitchell now or whoever.
She's now onto soccer.
Yeah, she's trying to ruin the Phoenix Suns.
Okay, I'll
she
take
already
that.
Tried to ruin the Sixers. That's all I have to say about that.
So you think she's poison when it comes to...
Anybody in that family.
Everybody in that
Look
family.
At what they did to Chris Humphreys.
Okay.
That guy was a superstar in the making.
So warm, earthy colors abound, and her living room is anchored by a fireplace, which is flanked by two overstuffed couches. She said, I'm not a huge party person. There aren't a lot of ragers going on here. And not that there aren't doses of glam, like the egg-shaped wall sculpture that greets visitors in the entryway and shifting LED light display pictured on the magazine's cover.
Man, she talked a lot.
She said, I wanted this piece to be a focal point of the house, and I'm so hyped to have it here.
Wait, you know whose house it is? It's Charlie Sheen's old house.
No.
She bought it from
Get
him.
Get out of here.
My old freaking house.
All that stuff is mine. That's why it looks so cool.
Yeah, it's in Beverly Hills.
Got a freaking day bend.
Yeah, it's like in fireplace.
Stuff, couches and eggshell shaped things.
It's in Beverly Hills.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's
freaking home.
It's absolutely beautiful. But I wonder if these people, like her and, you know, all of her sisters, like if they, when they walk into their house, like, do they sit on the couch and go, I'm home? Or is it just like another place they go to?
Yeah. Right. Like, why? I mean, that's your zen, your heaven when you get home and you can just collapse on the couch. I don't even know if they spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, like if they have that.
So Charlie Sheen's old house has teal kitchen cabinets.
And dead hookers in the basement.
Bright green bath tiles and a blingy brass tub.
That's my blingy brass tub.
With a dead hooker in it.
A freaking dead hooker buried in it.
See, when you have this kind of money, you can do whatever you want as far as designing and decorating is concerned. Because when things go out of style... It's just a drop in the bucket for you to get it fixed. When you're a normal person who is, you know, paying a lot of money to redo a kitchen or a bathroom or whatever, you need to make sure whatever style you choose is going to be relevant for decades.
I'd say these people are style setters.
Yeah,
so whatever they do, it doesn't matter.
That's their job.
Exactly.
Hey, Press, did you see what that was over her stove? Did you see the
video?
It's
a freaking dead hooker.
I saw a pipe that came out. That is a good question.
Oh, it's you fill pasta pots with that.
You mean it's a water?
It's water.
It's water. It's okay. Water.
You fill pasta pots with
so
that.
So it's pasta on
tap? What is that called? What is that big pasta thing called?
It's a freaking pasta.
You know, you
would just...
A pot?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I feel like it has a different name to it. Charlie, what do you say?
Water and a pot.
It's a pasta pot.
It's a large pot.
cauldron.
Or something like that, I guess. Or,
I have three witches living with me.
Or you could, I don't know, Case.
I've never seen that.
We don't know.
A water, it is a water line.
You don't watch enough HGTV, Kathy.
If it is a water line, I've never seen that right in the middle.
Over the stove.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So, but yeah, I guess so. If you're, hey, listener, if you're a celebrity, you don't have time to walk over to the sink and fill your pasta pot.
Well, it gets heavy, too. That's
water.
The other thing.
And look over the bills into the wall. It's a hooker dispenser.
Really had a lot of hooker themes in your house, Joe.
Hot and cold.
Yeah. It's a sort of a Midwestern slash hooker design.
All right, what else have you? Speaking of houses, Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannulli sold their massive Bel Air property for $18.75 million to Tinder co-founder Justin Mateen. But they took a hit on it because it was originally going for $28.65. They dumped roughly a little over $10 million.
So have you been hearing these stories? And my brother-in-law was telling me there was a house next to him in his area where the people put their house up, sold it in a day for like $5,000-$6,000 over the cost they were asking. Real estate is selling like that now.
It is. We have some friends who were house hunting. They had bid on a couple of houses, went like $15,000 over.
Yeah.
And they got outbid that.
Is it because interest rates are so low?
Real estate's happening, and I was I'm kind of in the market for a car right now, and I'm going by a couple of car lots. Cars are selling like crazy right now too, which is seems the antithesis of what's going on. So it's finances?
Yeah.
Okay.
And pent-up demand.
And hookers.
But nobody was buying anything for 2 or 3 months, and so there's demand that is pent up from the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He says that the last month has been their biggest ever.
Yeah.
I was also talking to a few people. There's a gentleman who did the sprinkler system at my house, which is a godsend, by the way. But he said that people who had planned to take trips, elaborate trips, got money back from the trips that they can take.
That's what we're kind of counting on.
And then B, also a lot of people with the government kickback or with the coronavirus money have a little extra money around, and so they're spending it.
So we were supposed to send my son to Prep U. It's a St. Joe's Prep Camp. And
Prep
we,
U.
Yeah, Prep U.
Prep U, suck it.
He was going to do that this summer, and we got that money back, Steve. You know what we ended up doing?
What?
We pulled up the Pacassandra in our backyard.
You did what?
Pacassandra. We pulled that up. We had all this extra money, man.
I like Pacassandra. Can I have it?
I don't.
What the hell's Pacassandra?
It's a ground cover. It's a delightful ground cover that you can use to prevent weeds. Hookers love it.
You can bury them under it.
Yeah. No, I've planted Pacassandra my whole life, Casey.
I'm not familiar
really?
With
I have done nothing but tear it up.
Oh, I dig it.
Tear it up.
Okay. Well, we all have our own.
That's how I splurge.
Things, don't we? Joy Philbin is speaking out about her husband, Regis, who died on Friday at 88, and she paid tribute to him on Wednesday in a joint statement release with her with their daughters, Jennifer and Joanna. Joy has said he let everyone into his life. He turned every little daily annoyance and happiness into a story.
I made it into something fun, right, Joy?
That's right. And he shared all those little stories with people in a joyful and conversational way.
You know what name I always found a lot of fun to say? Nelly Furtado.
Yes.
Nelly Furtado. Sounds like something you get at a roadside stand.
She said it made
Nelly Furtado wit.
Two Nelly Furtados?
Yeah, Nelly Furtados wit.
It made his audience feel like they were right alongside him because they were.
You were like family to me. Joy, of course, was my family. And so it would disturb her when I would say to her, you're like my family.
Yeah. So she's just paying tribute.
The special that they did on ABC was wonderful.
Was it?
With him. Yeah, they had all sorts of stuff going all the way back. And and they asked him if he had any regrets in his life. And this is when he was signing off Regis and Kelly. And he said that his major success happened so much later in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a guy who just kept going.
Like the Ever Ready Bunny, right?
The Bunny, yeah, exactly. Still going. All right. What else have I for you? Hugh Jackman can't resist trolling longtime frenemy Ryan Reynolds.
He's so talented.
After being nominated for lead actor in a limited series movie for his role as a scandalous school superintendent in HBO's Bad Education, he told Extra that he expects Reynolds will be nursing his wounds for a while. He said, oh, yeah, I predict 3 days in bed. Actually, I think Blake will be happy with that. Jackman joked of Reynolds' wife, Blake Lively. He said, he's a lot. Can you imagine quarantine with Ryan?
So, I wish I could be their friends.
I do, too.
And hang out with them.
It'd be
great. And then
great.
We could go over to Kendall Jenner's house.
It'll never happen. But that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
A sneak peek of the Umbrella Academy show season two is kicking off with a bang. Netflix dropped a teaser yesterday featuring Aidan Gallagher's number 5 touching down in Dallas to search for his siblings in the Lone Star State. The Umbrella Academy is based on the Dark Horse comics by Gerard Way. And it looks like the entire cast is going to be back forward to reprise their roles in season two.
It starts
tomorrow.
Really enjoyed it. I did. And you guys were talking about it, so I was a little bit later to it. I really did love it. So I'm looking forward to this season. You know, but it does, as all of this stuff starts to come along and it's moving press, you realize just how much work is done on these shows in advance before the time they actually premiere.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of times when we've had people in here to pitch a movie, it's a movie press that was done like 2 years before.
That's right. Yes.
It's crazy. But The Umbrella Academy, it's really good. And then The Boys, Preston.
I can't wait for the Boys. Any idea when that's coming out?
That's coming out in September, I believe.
Okay. All right. So we'll have time to absorb Umbrella Academy before The Boys come
freaky,
out.
Freaky, right?
The Boys is outrageous, man. Yeah, I can't wait to see them. All right.
They got this kinky superheroes. Like
they, yes.
Suckling super. And all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah. Jeopardy, last story. Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune are resuming production soon. The studio.
Yay!
Said. Protocols have been put in place to keep contestants, staff, crew, and talent safe, a spokesperson told People. While some things may have changed behind the scenes and on the set to keep everyone safe, fans can expect to see the same Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy that they have come to love when the season starts.
And come to known as. Yeah. There really is not, with Jeopardy, no trouble separating the contestants even further. Alex, besides the point in the show where he walks over and talks to them, they'll just, you know, he'll just probably do it from the podium.
Yeah.
Anybody watch last night? It was a Celebrity Jeopardy with Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley did not do well.
It was almost the parody of Will Ferrell.
Yeah, half-wit.
And SNL's version of Jeopardy, because Charles was up against Martha Stewart, who was actually pretty good, and Jeff Probst, who was really good. And Charles just looked like he was way out of his element. I think that was from like the late 90s or
early 2000s. They don't do the celebrity stuff anymore. But,
no.
But I tell you what, playing it last night, Nick, and playing it this week, so they had Jodie Foster on the other night. She was one of the contestants.
Yeah.
Man, I run the board.
Yeah.
If you play regular Jeopardy and then they go for Celebrity Jeopardy, so much easier.
That's why the smarter. Kid Jeopardy one is a lot of fun to watch, too, because you are on it.
Boom, boom, boom. I'm running every category.
But Tournament of Champions?
No.
And the collegiate ones, you're like, ugh.
Just watching.
Uh-huh.
And GOAT tournament with Ken Jennings and you know, the other two guys, like, that was just, those
are depressing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're ready for clips. Here we go. To Tell the Truth is back with 4 celebrity panelists.
God, that was a lot of fun.
Competing to figure out which contestant has an unusual distinction and who is just as good a liar. I wonder if Reed was ever on that show one time or another.
I think I was. I think I was one of the celebrity judges.
In this clip, host Anthony Anderson reveals the priceless award the celebrity with the most points wins. Here we go.
We've created a trophy and named it after my mother, Doris, called the Doris, and it's a bust of my mother and her bust. It's about a foot tall and about 10 inches wide. And it's almost lifelike.
It's not funny!
And To Tell the Truth airs tonight, 10 o'clock. That's on ABC.
I used to watch that show all the time.
I loved it.
Yeah. One of these people is, that's...
And then at the end was, will the real so-and-so please stand up? Right? That was To Tell the Truth.
Didn't they have... I know on the Dating Game they had somebody who later turned out to be a serial killer.
Yes, they did.
And I think they had a similar situation with To Tell the Truth.
No kidding.
Someone who was the actual person.
Yeah.
And then had a nefarious history. Maybe it could just be apocryphal, but if you could check on that.
All right, let's get to the next clip. Group of former child superheroes must reunite to save the world in the Umbrella Academy. And in this clip, co-star David Castañeda discusses his character Diego's new hairstyle for season 2. Here we go.
I think that whatever fashion statement was put on was never on purpose, at least not on my end, because it just made more sense, because he was in an insane asylum for a while, and Diego doesn't really care about his looks. And so he's kind of in this place of, I just need to save JFK. I don't really care about anything else except trying to find Dad and save him.
Yeah!
So Diego's power is pretty cool. He can throw things that can turn and go around corners. So if you're around a corner away from him, he can throw knives and it swings around and hits you. It's pretty cool.
Do you know, but it shows you, again, with how many comics are released and how many comic book shows and so on and so forth, you have to have the right combination, because yes, there's so many where you're like, eh.
Yep.
But this one had the quirkiness, the background story, the way it looks, the way it's filmed.
Yeah.
Everything looks right about
it. Yeah, it's really well done. And season two begins streaming on Netflix tomorrow. Somebody had texted in, Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance created that? Yes, that's the guy. Exactly. All right, we got to take a break, man. It's already 7 minutes after 7 o'clock, so we'll come back in a moment. Don't forget, Steve-O is going to be joining us around 9 o'clock. We're also going to have Al Roker on the program at the 10 o'clock hour. Hang out, why don't you? We'll be right back.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Godsmack. The Killers. Green Day.
We just keep on dreaming.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Speaking of traffic and driving and so on, Steve forwarded this article over to me that apparently Saturday on the Roosevelt Boulevard, the new speeding cameras are going to be in effect, and it will no longer be a warning that you receive. You'll get a ticket. And if you are electronically clocked traveling at least 11 miles per hour over the speed limit, you'll be issued a fine, which is interesting because why do they go with 11 and why not just make it the actual number that it is? I don't know. But anyhow, no points will be added to the individual driving record. Fines will increase incrementally based on the vehicle speed. The fines begin at $100.
But you know what?
11 to 20 miles per hour faster than the posted speed.
I'm glad it's a significant amount like that, because if any road needs it, it's the boulevard.
People get killed on it all the time. A AAA listed as one of the most dangerous roads in the country. I think it's in the top five. I personally despise that stretch of road. I try to avoid it with every ounce of my being, unless there's something that is literally right on the boulevard. I will do everything I can to bypass it, because it just, especially during the rush hours, dear mother of God, it's horrendous.
And, you know, so I traveled the boulevard for years. I would choose between 95 or the boulevard. I also grew up out in Bucks County. So we, we went to places off of the boulevard a lot. It was Northeast Philly was, you know, our next door neighbor. So I was on the boulevard a lot. And when I traveled it for work, I would do it almost every day. And it's not fun at all. But I mean, I understand the not that I understand it, but I mean, I was probably one of those people who was traveling way too fast on it. Now, I wasn't racing. You know, there are some people that go out there and race it and all that. But it's easy. It's easy to travel fast because that's the pace of traffic.
Well, the posted speed limit is 45 for most of it, according to this article. So, I guess people are treating it because of its width. People think that it's more of a highway that they should be doing 70 miles an hour on.
Well, and you can, and that's the thing. There's so many lanes too. So people that weaving in and out and passing cars like you would do on a highway also takes place there.
Yeah. All right. So I don't ever travel that fast on that highway. So I guess it's that part doesn't bother me, that I'm not cool with Big Brother giving me tickets. I don't know. I'm not. But I also, Steve, with rush hour anywhere sucks.
It extra sucks on the boulevard.
I've never had a problem with Roosevelt Boulevard.
You're not traveling
at the right time.
I'll tell you why.
Because you have the main through traffic.
Yeah.
And then you have the side roads.
The crossovers.
Right.
I love that. That's
so
fun.
I hate that. To get
it's
off.
Like a video game.
To get off, you know, especially if you're going with the flow of traffic, you pull off to that, what I assume they consider to be a merge little lane that sets you basically right into oncoming traffic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the express lanes versus the local lanes.
And that nightmare. I have so often driven past attempting to get over and have missed my opportunity.
Yeah.
It just sucks. Yeah. It's a horrendous design for the amount of traffic and people that it serves.
Well, and again, because I traveled it a lot, in case you made a joke about the video game, but I knew the parts of the boulevard that moved faster and where it slowed down. So I would do that. Listen, I'm not proud of what I've done, okay? But I would do that. I would know, okay, this light is really going to back up. So I knew the crossover. I would get over. I'd then be in the outer lanes. And then I knew when the outer lanes backed up, I'd cross back over into the center lanes. So that's what people are doing who know the boulevard. And it's causing, you know, all of this. And then the speed on top of it, that, I mean, people get killed on it every
constantly.
Year.
And then when people try to cross... These stories of these poor, like, families that'll cross.
Trying to cross. It's like 19 lanes.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So my girlfriend used to live in the Northeast, and she was in the far Northeast. So when I would come to work, I had two options, and one would be to drive the boulevard down.
Right.
And at 5 in the morning, it's not as bad as it, you know, probably is right now, or rush hour in the evening. But it's still bad. It's still really annoying. And so I think, and I'm going to make a general statement here, but in an area where there are a lot of bad roads, I believe the boulevard to be the worst of all of them. And I would like to hear...
Worse than 76?
I believe...
Oh, this is, yes. Yeah, it's not a highway.
And to me, it's no contest. However, there are people like you, Casey, and there are people who live in the Northeast that I think they get a little territorial and almost defensive of the boulevard itself. They're like, no, that's our road.
I understand the notion of you can make fun of your school, but other people can't.
Right.
I get it. And if you're proud of the boulevard, I get it. But from my vantage point... I would rather spend eternity in hell.
You know what's interesting, though, about roads, though, and pride and local pride? Usually the pride comes from how crappy it is, how lousy traffic
what
is.
What is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
But, you think it's bad where yours is?
Ha! That's it.
Come over where I am.
It's a badge of honor. Like, you fought in the Falklands?
Yeah.
I fought in World War II.
Yeah. Right. Yep, exactly.
I don't know if you have this information, Preston, but so they have the red light cameras as well that are on the boulevard, and they said that has dramatically decreased the running of red lights on the boulevard to 58% since 2005 when they went up. And then there's eight intersections, I guess, where these speeding cameras will go.
Okay.
Okay, how do red lights work with the, it's called ride on red. So if you consider there to be like a malfunction of sorts that you're able to go through.
I think that's light. Certain hours of the day. I'm not sure if it's 24/7.
Okay.
But I think the rule, though, Nick, is that you can always go straight through on a red light.
Yeah. I mean, that's the general rule.
Well, you're talking about, Casey, if you're sitting in a long light and you think that something is wrong with the light, at what point are you allowed legally to go ahead and drive even though the light is red?
Right.
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't think there's, like, a time limit. I think it's at the discretion of the officer that sees you and pulls you over.
All right.
Yeah, but if there's no officer there and it's just a red light camera.
Well, you call one.
Oh, okay.
Can I make a left here? and doing those crossovers, Kathy, when you have to, the way everything is, it's so blocky the way it's set up, you have to swing the car way out, come back in.
Well, and you
the
are.
The juxtaposition and the jockeying for position is what makes it so nightmarish.
And you are pulling, you're pulling directly, there's no merge, you're pulling directly into speeding traffic.
Who designed it? Who designed that?
By the way, what's the acceptable level over the speed limit when you're, and I'm not talking about legally with police, I'm talking about amongst fellow drivers and flow of traffic.
On a highway or just like on regular roads?
Let's say like on a regular road. Let's say the speed limit is 40.
10 miles.
What does everybody usually go?
50
miles an hour?
Yeah, I'd say 50, 10. 55.
Yeah, okay. 10 to 15.
Somewhere in that range.
Right.
Because what I can't stand is if I do happen to be driving in, say, 35 mile an hour zone and I'm doing 45. Mm-hmm. So 35 is, there's residents nearby or businesses. Yeah. So that's why it's 35 and I'm doing 45 and somebody gets right up on my ass.
Yeah, no,
I feel like going,
no.
Dude,
come on.
I'm already going 10 miles. I'm sorry. I'm not speeding enough for you.
Right.
And I just don't understand that. Even if I'm in a hurry, I will at least look at my speedometer and I go, well, they're already going over the speed limit. I can't be a dick about this. You know what I mean? But some people are just dicks.
I
guess that's what it is.
Some people are just dicks. Some people just like to see.
I had that this morning. Yeah. I was doing 10 miles over the speed limit. Some dude gets right up on my ass.
Single lane?
Yeah. And I'm like,
come on.
I'm not speeding enough for you.
So when I come in on
Fortunately,
Lincoln.
I was driving my Corvette this morning. I left him in the goddamn dust. But anyway.
Yeah. On Lincoln, it says 25. And 25 is really because it weaves and winds so much and people driving it. Now, on the straightaway, All right, Kathy, I'm going to admit, like you admitted some things this morning, I'll get up to 35, 40 on the straightaways. But when it says 25 at those certain points, it's for a good reason. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. People pulling out of their driveways and so on. Oh, here's the text says, I am from the Northeast, and believe me, I feel no shame in saying the boulevard is the worst roadway in probably the entire country.
Wow. Yeah. All right, so you guys would probably go crazy. Down the shore, speed limit, 25 miles per hour. Not only that, if somebody's standing on the corner getting ready to cross the street,
you have to stop
and let them cross.
I'm okay with that.
You have to be in like a complete like chill mindset when you go
when
down
there. When you pull into Wildwood, Case, and they're strict about it.
Yeah,
super strict.
Really, really strict. So and people don't adhere to that. And I don't get honked. Like, if I'm standing on the corner getting ready to cross and somebody doesn't stop and I can tell, you know, just the eye test that they're going over 25, I don't get, like, all pissed off about it. But I go,
listen, crossing that bridge in the Wildwood, there's a flashing sign that says speed limit strictly enforced.
Mm-hmm.
If I see the word strictly, I pay attention.
Yeah.
There is a stretch when you're coming over from Cape May into, like, Diamond Beach, Wildwood area. So the speed limit is 50 miles per hour.
And it says not so strictly enforced.
And no, Steve, and then right at the curve as you're leaving, you know, getting into the Diamond Beach, it goes from 50 to 25.
What does that going into Wildwood, too?
And the cops just sit there. I'm like, That's not cool. Can you wait like 50 yards down?
Well, that's my issue with at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah.
Like when you're coming up, like to me, if you were to put the car in neutral and it would roll faster than what the listed speed limit is,
mm-hmm.
you got to cut me some slack.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Let me go to some calls. Let's go to Norm talking about the boulevard. Hi, Norm. Good morning.
Yeah, hi.
What's up, bud?
Well, I was just going to tell you that boulevard. It's confusing. I've lived in...
He's right. Man, you're breaking up, Norm. Norm, your signal's breaking up. Hang on. I'm going to come back to you, and we'll see if we get a better signal in a second. I'm going to go to Matt over here. Hi, Matt. You're on the air. Good morning.
I'm feeling it.
What's up, Matt?
I would like to argue that I never say the boulevard is the worst. But Lincoln Drive is so damn narrow.
Yeah.
It's bad. And people go like 60 on there. It's a 25.
So, Matt, you're right. Which for me, if you catch Lincoln during the, I'm never on it during the rush hours. So I'm always on it, and I kind of have it. You know, it's like, oh, look, it's the Autobahn.
Are you on it every day, Steve? Or are you
I take it every day in and home. And unless I hop off on Ridge to get something. But for the most part, yeah. And you're right, though. They've since put up these little yellow sort of sticks, I believe, whatever they're called, to keep people from veering across. Yeah. It's the same. It's sort of like on Kelly Drive. It's the same thing.
But Lincoln Drive is more, it's curvier and
it's
windier.
Super curvy.
It's just, it's constant. It's back and forth.
But it's such a smooth ride, too.
It actually is now. But it's good because it's a lot smoother.
It's a tire killer.
When you skid into the concrete.
Thanks, Matt.
I'm more used to the boulevard than I am Lincoln Drive, so I don't feel as comfortable on Lincoln Drive.
Right, yeah.
So I guess it's the people that are a little more comfortable, but how fast they go and weave in and out of traffic and those curves, like, it blows my mind. I hate driving Lincoln Drive.
My car happens to corner extraordinarily well. And when someone rides my ass, Preston, a lot of times, and I'm like, I'm going 10 miles over the speed limit here, mm-hmm. and they're on my ass, and I'm even in the slow lane.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, you mother effer.
See ya.
And boom.
Right. So there's a lot of road construction going on all over the place, right?
Because
there is no easy way for me
An
to get home.
An extraordinary amount.
Okay. Roads are closed all over the place. And I was on the phone with my wife, and I'm like, man, I just have a knack for finding shut down roads on my way home from work.
No, I just said, you know, I've mentioned before with the pandemic and less traffic, they've been trying to take advantage of that. PennDOT has been trying to get out and get some extra work done. So.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Do you think this whole thing has just been to accelerate road repair?
No, I hope so. It needed to be done. Let me go back to Norm and see if we can get a better signal from him. Norm, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Much better. All right. What were you going to say, Norm?
I'm sorry. sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay, buddy. Go ahead.
But I got to tell you, Boulevard Show, I lived in Philly all my life. I traveled to Boulevard all the time. And I've actually moved up to Montgomery County now, but I'm right on the outskirts of North Philly. So I use Byberry Road often, Southampton Road often.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day I'm going over Southampton Road. I go to make a left-hand turn to go north on Roosevelt Boulevard, and I'm in the southbound lane. So I see these headlights coming at me.
So you talking to me this whole time?
Yeah, I was in the inner lane as a southbound lane going north.
Hey, Norm. Oh, hey, wow. Hey, what happened?
Well, I had an SUV, so I just scooted over the grass island.
You did? You drove over the island?
Yeah, yeah. And turned the car around and went southbound.
So you hung across the full length of the divider, the median.
Because he had an SUV.
Listen, he had no option. He was going the wrong way.
Yeah.
You're going the wrong way.
How do they know where we're going?
And you live to tell the tale. And what a tale he told.
And what a tale.
I got killed that day.
Thank you, Norm.
I can see that happening, though, like the heading in the wrong direction on the boulevard. Yeah. There are so many options and so many different turning ways that you could end up heading in the wrong direction.
And it's so poorly laid out. The signage is so poorly laid out.
Well, if you are trying to make a left-hand turn from one of the cross streets, right. I mean, you really have to be paying attention because there are parts of the boulevard that are so wide. I mean, you're essentially driving down another road to make a left.
There's a Little Caesars that I see all the time. Off to the side on the boulevard. It seems to be at an intersection. And occasionally I flirted with the notion of stopping and getting a slice of pizza.
And you're like, nah.
How would I even do that?
You don't know how to get there.
How would I even get there?
You have to move in.
There are places where I'm like, I don't know how anybody gets over there.
How would you get to that?
Yeah.
I just can't get over.
Here's a text that says, Lincoln Drive can go F itself.
Yeah.
Totaled my car going 25 miles an hour. Tow truck driver told me most people flip where I hit, so I guess that's a plus. Stupid road.
There's a part.
That they wrote.
You're right, though. There is a part where it appears to open up, and you think it has all the feeling of a highway. Of like, okay, I guess speed must increase. And I think that's where a lot of times you'll see those cars flipped over. And if there's ever an accident, no road comes to a dead standstill like Roosevelt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the boulevard.
And I think with the speed cameras, and look, there are people that are going to hate the fact that they're there. They're going to absolutely loathe it. And some people who, along the lines of Casey, don't like the idea of Big Brother. But listen, it's been happening for so long, it's kind of like you brought it on yourself by driving too fast,
sure,
too recklessly all the time.
Do you think those highway lights that are incremental on the on ramps, like on the blue route, do you think they help? I think they do. By regulating the.
I think they show that they do. Yeah. I mean, I mean, the traffic still sucks at certain times of the day, but it's supposed to regulate the traffic
a little bit.
Yeah. What really sucks is the fact that the freaking blue route narrows down to two lanes at some
frickin'
point.
Freaking two lanes.
Thank you, Nether Providence.
Yeah. It was there.
Yeah.
They required that, right, when they were building the highway.
Yeah, because, two lanes of a highway is way quieter than one lane.
Yeah. It wouldn't have gotten built if they hadn't made that compromise.
I know.
It's the dumbest compromise ever. Just, I would have rather not
and
had
guess
it.
What? I'm sorry. Those people that stalled that whole process, they're all dead now.
Right.
Because
we
can
change that.
Yeah, we can. Well, I don't know.
We can seek revenge on their relatives.
Yeah. Marissa?
Wait, I just need to know why I have an EasyPass account, yet I am getting bills for a missed toll on EasyPass. And it's like up to $80. Like, don't they just look up my license plate
and see
if I have an account?
They are billing by license plate now.
Yeah. Yeah, but they should, even if you go through EasyPass without your EasyPass, they're going to ticket you. They'll look up your license plate. They see that you have a transponder, and then they'll put the
tab on the transponder.
Yeah, they'll put the tab on the transponder. Yeah. So that shouldn't be happening. And it's up to like $80 because I didn't look at the first one.
Are you sure?
I know what it is.
when you sit in the seat, they can't see that anyone's driving.
That's right.
Marissa, maybe you do you, are you sure you have money on your Easy Pass?
Well, that was the thing. I had a low balance, and so I went to the Easy Pass site, which is like terrible, by the way. The Easy Pass site is very old and not updated. And then I put money on it, and it said you have an offense or something like that. So put the money on, and it'll be cleared. And I did, and that's been 6 months. And they're like, nope, you still didn't pay this toll in November.
I had to work that same deal through going over. Every time I go over the Ben Franklin, I'd have some sort of issue with my Easy Pass, my transponder. And I had to call it. It took like an afternoon, but I finally got it fixed.
Well, that's my other question. I have one in Jersey, too. Is it a different Easy Pass? Like, isn't it just one?
No, it's the same.
You know what? You might need a new transponder.
Okay.
Or sit on a pillow when you drive.
Tell them. Yeah.
Marissa, is the problem happening in Delaware by any chance, or is it happening because...
No, but Delaware was doing this is not an offense. We're just billing you, but they have a big thing in the mailer that comes. It's like, you're not being... This isn't a ticket, but just pay the $4. But no, mine was Jersey and Pennsylvania, Willow Grove.
Interesting. All right, I want to go... let me go over to Bryce's story about the Boulevard. Hi, Bryce, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys a short story for a change, perhaps.
You mean as a sort of sorbet from our last story?
Norm?
Yeah, Norm was good. Yeah. It just took a while.
Yeah, it's just a little one. So I grew up on a farm, and I was 16, and this was back when you had to have, like, 50 hours of driving experience. So I got this guy to drive me around, and for the first time in my life, he took me to the Boulevard, and he's like, you see this first set of lanes? Like, yeah. I want you to go to the second set of lanes and make a right. I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, trust me, it's fine. I'm like, no. So, like, we fought the wheel the entire way. I was absolutely convinced I was going to die. He was putting me into oncoming traffic, and I was going to die.
It looks that way, though, Bryce. Yeah. It looks that way, especially I can't think of a worse road to learn how to drive on than the Boulevard, because there are optical illusions that take place all over the place that convince you you're turning into oncoming traffic.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it
sucks.
It was insane.
I would have loved to have seen that, though.
Right, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm fighting over. No, I'm not doing it. I am not doing
it. It's like the scene in Clueless where she accidentally gets on the highway.
I will go to... Here, hang on. Let me go to Steve. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to place an order for delivery.
What would you like, sir? Nope. What was your story? You got something that compares to the Boulevard.
Avenue. Holy crap, that's not the second worst road in America. I don't know what would be.
Yeah.
I kind of compare the Boulevard to Buxton Avenue, like the Boulevard is Talladega, whereas Buxton Avenue is Richmond.
Okay. Steve, I mean, if you listen every morning... Yeah, Kathy has mentions Bustleton every morning. Yeah, every morning.
It is an absolute nightmare. It's all through the Northeast. Once you get down to the Boulevard, it kind of levels out a little bit because now it ends around Bridge and Pratt area. But all the way down Bustleton Avenue from Street Road is you feel like you're actually in a Formula One race.
No, you're right.
It's scary.
You are correct. I've experienced that myself, and you know, and it's out of my element. It's not my normal traveling place. And any time that we do have to go to Parks Casino or something like that and do stuff, I get confused. And it's people are hauling ass around there.
Do you know what I do, though?
You know?
If I can, I'll try any way to get over to 95. Fortunately, now where I am, I can avoid 76 and I'll use 309. I don't mind getting on the turnpike and paying the charge for a toll road. In fact, I embrace the notion. But if you can get to 95, I will gladly do it rather than take the Boulevard.
Yeah.
Hey, where can I get an Easy Pass, by the way, if I wanted to just get one real quick?
Because
I
know
I
can. Walmart.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good.
You really?
Yep. Yeah,
you can go. Marissa.
Yeah.
And Casey, I got mine at Acme.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right at, like, the ticket where you, or not the ticket, the counter. Like the
where you can get you cigarettes?
Yes, exactly. That
All right.
One.
Yeah, in fact, each transponder comes with a carton of cigarettes.
Nice. I'll take a carton of Lucky Strikes.
And an Easy Pass transponder, please.
No, you know what? Make
the
that
package
a carton
deal.
I like to smoke and drive. All right, away, sir.
I used to love smoking and driving. That was, like, the best. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Can I tell you what else happens on the Boulevard? So many times, people pulling up. Now, this was years ago, pulling up next to me and trying to hit on me while driving. I think we actually, when I first started working with you guys at Y100, I think we talked about it because there were a few times that I took the boulevard to get in, to Concha.
I bet you that. I bet you, as far as roads where women get hit on the most from that, you know, that car-to-car flirtation, I think the boulevard sort of lends itself to it because you have so many lights.
Yeah, and then you stop. You
get
stay
to the next
in
light.
The car.
Get to the next light.
I had a friend who used to. I remember being in the car with her once, and she would like play along, and she'd go with it, and then she'd be like, "All right, we got to get away from these guys." And I'm like, "Well, how? You're going to have to stop at the next red light, and then it just becomes awkward."
I used to see that on Delaware Ave at, when the bars would close.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be doing appearances down there, and it would be packed. I mean, it would be like jam-packed traffic, and people were all jabbering back and forth from car to car, and people. They're trying to hit on girls.
Do you remember those things they used to sell? Those little signs for the cars? Hey,
yeah.
Hot stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's ever worked. Like, if somebody's ever gotten a phone number and they've gone out on a date and had a relationship.
Of course it has. I think the guy who closes it the most is the guy who pleasures himself with cheese.
Right.
Well, where was that guy?
It was in Norristown.
That was Norristown?
I think I was in Norristown.
Well, where's the pickle sucker was on the...
that was on 95.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The cheese pleasurer was...
Yeah, I thought he was out of Norristown.
I think he lived in Norristown, or at least that's where he
maybe
went to
it.
Court. But he was—he was like he bounced around the cheese guy.
He would jack it with a slice of cheese around his
head. Yeah, and then the guy in the yellow neon who would like sit in the back seat and whack it. He was on 95 out in Bucks. Like,
so,
Bucks
what
County.
Was the most overt when you got hit on from a car?
I mean, it was. I remember specifically on the boulevard, and like in my mind,
guys
just
leaning
kept,
out of the car. Or just
like at it, yeah. I mean, they'd pull up next to you, follow you for a little bit through a few lights, and then you know try to roll down your window, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember thinking, do you really think this is gonna work? Like, I'm on my way to work. It's 7 a.m. Stop it.
You know what? I'm gonna call in sick.
Yeah. I gotta go back home.
Yeah, you know, I met my wife. She was at a stoplight in her car.
Oh, so you're one of those creepers.
Yeah. Well, listen.
She hit on you from the car.
Oh, really?
Well, she was aware of who she was. From the show, right? She was a fan of yours, right?
Yeah.
Well, not a fan, but she thought you were cute.
All right, some text coming in. Swiss cheese guy was in Mayfair.
Ah.
And somebody else says Northeast. So, okay. But I thought he was from, maybe he was from Norristown.
I thought
there was some connection there.
I think he maybe went to court in Montgomery County. Do you guys want me to look it up?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, but
he went to Derry Court.
We got to take a break, so maybe we can find out in a moment. But nonetheless, just kind of a heads up that if you do... travel Roosevelt Boulevard regularly Saturday. They stop sending out warnings, and they are going to start issuing fines. These are with the cameras, the speed cameras now, because they've had red light cameras there for a while. But the speed cameras have been kind of in this testing phase, and now they're ready to initiate.
They figured you might need a distraction from the coronavirus.
Right. So keep that in mind. This is an official warning. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. I got some B-File stories that I can't wait to share with you. We'll do it in a bit.
MMR and Live Nation are happy to announce the live performance drought is finally over. It's the Live In at the Drive-In concert series, a month of shows in the Phillies parking lot you'll experience from your car.
93.3 WMMR and Brent Smith and Zach Myers from Shinedown invite you to rock Live In Your Ride Thursday, September 3rd.
Get up, move on. See the full schedule at WMMR.com. The Live-In at the Drive-In Concert Series. A socially awesome solution to a performance-less pandemic.
Featuring Shinedown's Smith and Myers and many more.
Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. From 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Real quick, before we do the Bizarre File, a couple shout-outs. I got this email. It's from Jill from Schwanksville. She says, hey, Preston, I'm hoping... to give a shout out to my husband, John. I couldn't find a link, so I'm guessing I email you. As I am writing this, we are listening to the Preston and Steve show while enjoying the infinite beauty of Lake Ontario. After the kids are in bed, we like to sit by the lake and talk and laugh together like old times and listen to your show.
I've never been to South America.
It's not in South America.
Oh.
And I just want to tell John that after 17 years, he is still my favorite person to be around. I love you, John. So a shout out for John from Jill.
Thank you.
I love you. And then another one says, hey, bitch. I wanted to give a shout to our shout out to my amazing husband Scott. He works for the Franklin Township Sewage Authority in Franklin, New Jersey, and he has not stopped working at all during the pandemic. The sewage authority is exactly what you think it is. It's poop. And he works so incredibly hard all year, but especially in the last 2 months since we brought our first, since we bought our first home. He works with poop and sewers for 8 hours a day and then comes home and works on our new home. He's amazing. I listen to you guys every single day, and he only listens when I make him. But last night while cooking dinner, we said the same thing at the same time, and he said, "Jinx, oh my God, call me." And I stopped dead in my tracks. His first Preston and Steve quote.
Yeah.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God. Stop.
And thank you for all the laughs. She said, "What? Well, I couldn't be proud of a man I married to. I married 8.5 months ago, and now he's an official convert. And fan of the Preston and Steve show, and I wanted to give him the most special shout out.
We're going
to
do that then.
Thank you for all the laughs and for keeping me company while I work from home, and Scott is elbow deep in crap all day." And then she signs, "You a idiot." Sarah Anderson.
Go ahead.
Hit it! For you guys, and now we're going to do the B-File.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre, bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by HERS. Pick up a specially marked bag of HERS today for a chance to win $10,000 and take your summer to the next level. Full rules and details are at summer.hers.com. HERS, forever good. The man charged with using a samurai sword to decapitate his landlord inside a home this weekend refused to talk to police about the crime and claimed that he is a sovereign citizen.
I don't want to talk about it.
At his arraignment in Hartford, Jerry David Thompson refused to say anything and was ordered held in lieu of $2 million bail. Thompson also refused to speak with a public defender and at this point is not represented by an attorney.
I don't want to talk.
He's like not talking at all.
No.
He was identified as a suspect by friends of the victim, Victor King, who had rented a room to Thompson inside his home. The two men had had a dispute about Thompson not paying rent, according to the warrant, and Thompson threatened King with a samurai sword. King was so alarmed by Thompson's threats that he went to the police on Saturday, the day before he was killed, and told them Thompson had been waving the sword at him. On Sunday, friends of King called police to say they couldn't reach him. Sunday afternoon, police and firefighters forced their way into the home and found a lot of blood and King's badly slashed body covered in bedding. Police began looking for Thompson
over a rent dispute
to question him about the killing and found him and pulled him over back at police headquarters. Detectives tried to talk to Thompson, but he wouldn't say anything.
We came to an agreement.
At one point, he wrote on a piece of paper, paper in glove compartment in Jeep is all you need.
Huh?
And in the glove compartment of the Jeep, police found paperwork suggesting Thompson viewed himself as a sovereign citizen, people who don't view themselves as subject to the law.
And there's also the map from Goonies, Preston.
He has previous convictions for assault and robbery, so dude is going to jail probably.
Effed up.
Chris Marquez said that he took a tandem skydive on Saturday at Vermont Skydiving Adventures and didn't realize until he was safely on the ground that he had lost his prosthetic leg in the process.
Wow.
Marquez had posted a plea on Facebook for local residents. Keep an eye out for his missing leg as replacing it would be expensive. The post came to the attention of farmer Joe Marzlowski, whose property is close to the skydiving business. He searched his property on Sunday, and he found a prosthetic leg.
Hey, look at this.
Which was completely intact. And they met up, and he returned the leg to him. So.
You'd think you'd feel that pop off, right?
Yeah, but you know what? It's such
an adrenaline
sensory
rush?
Overload, yeah. when you're free-falling. So maybe he just, you know, had no idea that was going on.
I love when you see footage of seniors doing the dive and their false teeth come out.
Yeah. Great.
Memories.
An early morning naked walk on Monday eventually led to a fight with police and a couple facing numerous charges. Police arrested Mariel Kinney and Kevin Pinto after the 6:30 a.m. incident. So they're walking out completely in the buff at 6:30 a.m.
Why Pinto?
why not? Police Chief Joseph Bennett said it was kind of wild. It wasn't the typical day, that's for sure. They were buck naked. Police went to Hayden Row Street after receiving calls about two naked people walking a dog. Officers saw Kenny and Pinto, who were completely nude, walking down the street with a medium-sized black dog named Lucy. Question: if they were okay and why they were unclothed, Kenny and Pinto either said they didn't want to answer or answered incoherently. And during questioning, the couple yelled and swore at the officers, resisting any efforts of de-escalation. The officer said there was a short foot pursuit. Both people ran when they were told that they were going to be arrested. Police caught up with the pair, who struggled violently. Pinto struck officers several times with the heel of his palm.
You've run when you've been naked. You ever your balls hurt when you run at a full clip?
I have run at a full clip.
Everything's whipping around and it hurts.
And everything kind of bounces.
It's not good.
And yes. Kath, have you ever run naked?
No.
Okay.
Because your balls will hurt.
No, I'm wondering if the boobs would be the same thing.
Oh, my God, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Yes, that would hurt.
One officer was taken to a local hospital to be treated for minor injuries, has since been released, and his home police arrested Kenny and Pinto. The world's, quote, most identical twins. I guess they are so perfectly identical
that
they're considered the most identical twins.
I've never heard that.
Have told how they plan to get pregnant at the same time by their shared boyfriend.
Oh, get the hell out
of here. I saw a picture of these world's most identical twins. I didn't think they looked so identical.
Australian twins Anna and Lucy Desinic appeared on Monday's This Morning show, where they explained to the baffled host why they wanted to have a baby at the same time. 34-year-old sisters, who had always had separate boyfriends before, now share a boyfriend named Ben Byrne.
That's disgusting.
In the past, we had...
You're only baffled.
They said, in the past, we had separate boyfriends, but Ben accepts us for who we are, according to Anna. Lucy continued saying, if he kisses Anna, he'll kiss me straight after. Yeah. The siblings went on to add that their boyfriend can always tell them apart, even when speaking to them on the phone. Speaking about the duo's plans to have children at the same time, Anna added, we will grow old together and die together. We will freeze our eggs at the same time.
Uh-huh.
It will be a challenge, but we just want to be the same. And it could be obsessive, but that's how we want to live our lives.
Yeah, they're a little deranged.
So they look like they may have had some face work in order to look the same.
You think so?
Yeah.
Something's like a little weird.
All right, and then we'll do one more story and wrap this up. Let's go with a world leader who claimed that vodka and saunas could keep COVID-19 at bay and refused to cancel large sporting events, has confirmed he has the virus.
Hmm.
Belarus President Alexander Lukashenko has previously come under fire after refusing to lock down and continue to play ice hockey as the disease spread across the world. The dictator also claimed drinking 50 milliliters of vodka a day would protect people from the virus. Lukashenko previously bragged that no one would die from the coronavirus in Belarus. The number to die from the disease currently stands at 538.
There might be something to that ice hockey thing, though, Preston.
The 65-year-old said during a meeting, today you are meeting a man who managed to survive the coronavirus on his feet. Doctors came to such a conclusion yesterday, asymptomatic. He told citizens in April, though, that they should not worry. He said, no one will die from coronavirus in our country. I am saying this in public. This is my firm conviction, judging by analysis not only of previous years. We already have this year's experience. And from our experience, from Chinese, American, European experience of how this disease is running, we see how we should work. Therefore, we will do our best to fight for every person. If a person stays positive, they will be healthy, he had said. And he allowed sporting events and all this stuff to take place. Well, and now he's got it, or he had it. So maybe he's changing his tune. I do not know. And that is what I have for you in your bizarre file for now. Let's take a break. Come back in a bit. Don't forget Steve-O joining in less than an hour. He'll be on the program. We also are going to talk to Al Roker, so a few people to chit-chat with. Coming back in a moment. Hang there.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I wanted to mention, Casey brought in the Double Dutch ropes.
Oh, yeah.
So I think maybe tomorrow we might try that.
Okay.
I'm game, but you guys will have to practice the twirling part of it.
So do you start, and we'll go into it more tomorrow, I assume you start with just a regular one rope, and then you do the two, like, crossing over.
No, you get them both going at the same
time. Okay, right.
And then you run in.
All right.
Run in and you try to do it.
I've never been able to do this, so I want to try.
I will try it.
Yeah. Right. Should we, do you think we should at least maybe watch some videos on how to do it? I have tried. I have never been able to do it.
I was hoping Preston could teach us.
I think it might be a nice primer of sorts to watch a video
on
how to do it.
Okay.
But yes.
I wasn't sure. Any,
listen, I've only EMTs. Done it like once, maybe twice. Ken.
Successfully?
It's been a long time.
I think we're going to need to have some doctors on standby. Because
At least on standby.
I'm anticipating an injury for myself.
You nearly killed yourself dancing to Madonna.
Yeah.
So this can only be...
It's going to be pathetic.
Does anybody...
And you injured yourself skipping down the hallway, so...
No, but it was power skipping.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Is anybody in the complex here... Marissa, are you double... Can you double dutch?
Hang on a second.
I feel like I have, but I don't know. But can I send out like a company-wide email to see if anybody who is like COVID safe in our building
and knows how to do
knows how to do
it?
Yeah.
I bet you Bill Weston.
Oh, God.
He impresses me as a double dutch.
Well, yay, also, here I go.
Look at this.
If you know how to double dutch, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Bill and Connie used to do double dutch competitions.
Oh,
no
doubt.
Yes. Yeah, they would do like gymnastics and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys remember, and I didn't mean to go on a conversation about this, but we have other things to talk about. Do you remember a thing called the Chinese jump rope?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what you did.
Okay.
It would go around your ankles, right?
Inside, outside, side to side, onesies, insies, outsies.
I love that.
Yes.
I love those things. I forgot about it.
What is it?
Inside, outside, side by side, onesies, insies, outsies.
I was so good at that, too.
Wait a second.
Steve, it was like a stretchy material. No. It wasn't really like a jump rope. And then you would, but then you could change the configuration of it.
Yeah,
and you'd like loop it and hook it to your toes. Yep. And you're, oh my God, I loved it.
Can you do that, Kathy?
I was great at it. My cousin, who lives in Long Island, Steve, her and I were so good at it. We loved doing
you
it.
You know what I used to do? It wasn't there. Go ahead, Preston.
So to describe real quick, Steve, I'm sorry to interrupt. What it is it's like an elastic band of sorts. It's really large. And two people would stand opposite each other, and they would wrap it around the outside of their ankles, and it would create this rectangle.
Yeah.
And the kids who were playing it would jump in some kind of sequence. It didn't have a swinging rope or anything. Rope stayed solitary.
It's almost like a football, like when you're doing like almost like a football drill.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, so we're watching this guy get his feet all tangled up in it and stuff. Yeah.
No, but that was a trick. So,
yeah.
So that's what you do. You'd like wrap them around certain ways, and then you could jump out of it. And, oh, God.
Okay.
Do you know what I used to do that was not this, but I thought initially when you said the Chinese thing, that's what you were talking about, Preston. There was a thing that would go around your ankle with a ball on the end.
That's a skip-bo.
Right, so I would do that.
Yeah. I think it was called a skip-bo, right?
Skip-bo.
A skip-bo a game.
No, skip-o is the
or
thing.
Hop skip or something like
hot
that.
Hot Carl.
I think, no, skip-o is, has to do with, like Uno was a version of Uno, card game. But there was another.
Skip it.
Thank you, Marissa.
Kathy, do you remember doing the Chinese jump rope, but on your hands? And you would like twist it into one way, and then you would have a partner who would like come in and squeeze two parts and like go around.
Oh, yeah.
And
then sounds bring like it one of your sick sex games, Marissa.
No, that wasn't a Chinese jump rope. That was just you could use any string or anything like that, and there were different ways to get yourself in and out of it, and you'd go back and forth. It was like a game, so you could take it from me, and then I'd take it from you in a different way.
Think you could still do that?
And then you'd put a leather mask on your face and sleep in a box in the basement.
That was not until college.
It was called Gimpo.
Oh my God, Gimpo.
Oh, I loved these games.
Yeah. So, okay.
All right, we'll try it.
I'm sorry for thinking out loud, but I just had remembered vaguely Yeah. The Chinese jump rope. And how did it go again, Case?
Inside, outside, side by side, onesies, inzies, outsies.
Okay.
So,
inside, okay, so
inside outside, you would side by side.
Yeah, you would jump inside and then both legs outside and then side by side.
Well, we can get that.
One in, out.
Yeah, we can get something like that. That would be hard
sure
to get.
We could find a Chinese jump rope.
Right. Yeah. When I would jump rope, I'm probably still to this day, I can't do like single jump rope without doing like you do a jump and then like
a bounce, a little double bounce.
Right? Just to sort of like that's how I would time it. Right? Like you see like boxers doing, you know, jumping rope.
There's all kinds of rhythms that they do.
I used to do it all the time. I was so good at it. I guarantee you I would suck at it now. It's the kind of thing. Well, I would jump rope. Yeah, and jump rope and push-ups were like my main thing. And then if you don't do it for as long as I have not done it, it's like starting all over again.
Oh, my God. And your calves will burn like son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a video that came out years ago of this girls group of like 20 jump ropers doing unbelievable stuff. I remember that they were like a performance team.
There's
a jump rope performance team.
These teams blow my mind. There's this girl who's making the rounds on social media and she's doing this step dancing stuff that is now she's amazing. Yeah. And she's actually talking as she's doing it. I'm like, how are you not having a full-blown seizure?
Yeah, the amount of talent that I didn't know existed in the world that has now come to light via YouTube is astounding. I mean, because I like to play drums, and I'll these drum videos, and I make these drum videos, and I realize how inept I am compared to people who are unfreaking believable, and there are just loads of things like as stupid as jumping rope. People that are doing things where you're going, how in the hell do you do that? You know what I mean?
Never seen anything like it. Well, listen, and this has been the same. This has been read for years. You posted a video last night
oh my God!
Explain this woman.
So it's black and white photo, and white film of a woman who, and it's a biplane. You know, the old two winged aircraft. They show her strap a landing gear on her back, which was basically a tire. They take off. She's on the wing of the airplane. You've seen wing walkers before.
Right.
But they get up in the air, and there's another airplane, a biplane, that is missing a wheel. She goes from one plane to another, climbs onto the wing of the other one, shimmies down to the gear, puts the wheel on, and then that plane is able to land. And no safety hookups at all.
What?
No parachute, no hook.
I've
no
never seen anything nothing. Like it.
So watch it. Here's the footage. She's on the one plane.
And this has to be in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
And I've
so
never
she
seen
goes from, oh my God. From one biplane to the next.
Yeah. And so it started, you know, it made me think about that very thing. Like the feats that some people have been able to achieve that we have no idea. I've never seen this video before in my life, and it's absolutely amazing. And YouTube's the same way. You can find somebody doing something incredible at pretty much anything. We're watching the video of this right now. I can't believe this person actually did that. Hang on.
What'd you do at work today, hon?
I'm going to go to a call here. I have Frida on the line. Hey, Frida, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up, Frida?
Good. I just want to thank you guys. You brought back a lot of great childhood memories. With the talking about the Chinese jump rope with the insies outsies side by side, onsies, insies, outsies.
You haven't heard that in years. That's never crossed your mind in decades, has it?
Oh my God, it was great. And then the skip it, I remember doing the skip it, and then like the Chinese jump rope with your hands. It was great.
What would you do with your hands?
That game's called Cat's Cradle.
Cradle. Okay. Yeah. All right.
In fact, Beth is holding to tell us about that. All right, Frida, thank you very much. We're glad that we could take you back. But Beth wanted to comment on Cat's Cradle. Hey, Beth.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You could also do Chinese jump rope with the kitchen chairs if none of your friends were around.
Yes!
That's right. So you put the band around the kitchen chairs?
Yes.
Okay.
You put it around the kitchen chairs because if your friends weren't allowed out or there was nobody around, you could do it yourself. And then Cat's Cradle, my dad, God rest his soul, he would do Cat's Cradle, and he could do it so good. And you would put it around both your hands, and then you make the X's and then the other person grabs the X's and goes under them. And honestly, I've done it with my kids who are now 19 and 25. But yeah, I mean, good times.
My sister used to do Cat's Cradle, and you would weave your fingers in and out of the string. It would be on either
sort of mesmerizing. Yeah.
And I remember she would do like, all right, this is Jacob's Ladder, and this is so-and-so. And then you hear, grab this part and pull on that. And then it would make, like a bra, like the witch's bra was one of them, if I remember correctly. So
witch's broom. You could do witch's broom.
Yeah, witch's broom, not witch's bra.
Witch's
broom.
I have heavy hammers. Yeah.
I don't think
we
can wear bras.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, the steps that are right.
All right, thanks, Beth.
I need to get professionally fitted.
So I guess apparently people still do this because the videos that we're watching are of current day. So, yeah. Marissa?
Kathy, did you do numbers? The hand clapping?
I don't know what that
is. It was like, I need two people to like make noise.
Oh, like Miss Mary Mack?
Miss Mary Mack, but there was numbers. It was, you go like up, down, one, two. Three.
And then you try to go faster and faster?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Kind of count it along.
Yeah.
My wife was teaching me that in the we were stuck in traffic, and she was trying to teach me how to do that. And I was like,
I'll bet that must have been fun to watch.
Not good at that.
I don't see you doing that at all, Steve.
Well, to kill time? Sure, why not? Right. Who is it? Miss Mary Mac, all dressed in black, with silver button, all down her back.
She...
wore no panties.
She's, what was it? To go to the, that she jumped over a fence. There was
she
an
had a big
mall.
Bush. She had a big bush. Bush, just like a jungle.
And we played Bukkake.
Her infection was fungal.
All right, that was
fun. Just can corrupt a childhood memory in seconds.
Yeah, we took it to sex, didn't we? Of which is something I wanted to bring up initially. I didn't mean to talk about Double Dutch and Cat's Cradle and all that other stuff. Kathy had posed a question to us off air, and I forgot what the origin of this was. But as we are trying to maybe get a little bit of vacation time and travel and maybe going to where you're in your bubble, meaning people that you know have not been contaminated on, and you are close with them, and maybe you're staying at someone's house, and maybe they put you up in the guest room, and maybe you decide to do the nasty in the guest room of someone else's house. And I think you wanted to ask Kathy whether or not that was considered
okay. Yeah, so the reason I brought it up was because I was at a friend's house and somebody else had been staying in the guest room. And she said to me, so sorry, I think, so-and-so and so-and-so broke the bed. And I was like, what? She goes, oh, yeah. She's like, they definitely broke the bed. Like, the mattress was, like, caving in. And so she thinks they broke, like, the slats underneath the bed.
Wow.
From humping. Having doing sex. That. Yeah, so it sparked a conversation. We were like, is that okay? Is it okay to, I mean, she gave them the full guest room. They were staying in there, so is that okay? I don't know.
There are a couple questions involved with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have an issue with that. In fact, I would kind of expect that if people are staying somewhere else. But would you be hesitant to do that in someone else's home?
Well, it depends on where the homeowner's bedroom is.
Compared to that bedroom.
If it's a pull-out cot in the living room, could be a problem. But, that's one of the big deciding factors.
I never used to like to do it when we were staying with my wife's parents.
No?
Yeah.
You didn't feel like you were being naughty?
No. I didn't want to do that. For some reason. And you know me, I'll do anything.
Yeah. I just did it again.
But the idea of people doing it in my house doesn't really bother me.
No, me neither.
Okay.
I've done it a couple of times. I've had it done to me. I've done it to, like my wife and I, we did in my nephew's bed in my brother's house. And that was weird because it had sort of a 10, 11-year-old motif,
That is weird.
It is okay. Sort of weird, and the bed was bizarrely low to the floor.
Yeah. And it looked like a Ferrari.
Yeah. So there was kind of that thing going on, and I'm like, I'm coming in for a pit stop, honey. check my dipstick.
So have any of you guys done an Airbnb?
No.
In a home? Yeah. Okay. You have keys?
Yes.
And, been thinking about it soon, though.
Yeah. And so it's somebody else's house, right? And I know you guys have reservations about it or have had them in the past. I'm okay with it. I think that it's fine. But it is a little, it's different than being in a hotel room. And the vibe is different and whatever else. However, you have in the back of your mind when you go to bed at night, I'm sort of in a hotel.
Right.
And I contend that there's really no sex like hotel sex, right? So, like, that element exists in your brain, but then you also have to reconcile the fact that it's somebody else's, literally somebody else's bed that you're sharing. So it depends on what weighs more in your head at that time, horniness or reason.
But they're not there.
Yeah, but it's their
bed. Yeah, but there's probably DNA that's there. Yeah.
And they'll be back at some point.
Yeah.
Like, their dresser is in the room.
No, but if you're a guest in somebody's house and they're staying there,
right.
and let's say you have a shared wall.
No, you're running too much of a risk. When we were in my nephew's room, my brother and his wife were at the other end of the house. We had a nice buffer, but you are, unless you're going to go full quiet, if you're going to do what they call silent running,
I mean, listen, even that was
almost impossible.
That was a consideration in my house where I live with my family, with my children.
What are you doing in there?
Was whether or not our beds were up against the same wall.
Wow. Well,
does that bother you at all? Like in your
home?
Were
they up against the same wall in the same room?
Right. That would be weird.
Wait, I don't follow. Say it again, please.
All right. So my room at home and my daughter's room at home, we share the same wall,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And our beds are not up against that wall.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
So, I totally understand that you did that on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But what if one day she wanted to move her bed?
No!
Okay.
There's a reason it's like this.
Yeah, that would be a bit odd.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially, you're banging your wife's head onto the wall, which is
reversible. A lot of times,
daddy's handcuffs wall. Yeah.
I don't know if that's in consideration for builders, but a lot of times, a lot of the models of homes will have the master bedroom completely separate of the other, however many bedrooms you have in the house.
Yeah, true. I'm going to go to Duncan. Hey, Duncan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
All right. So I was up at this thing called Winterfest up in the Berkshires in Connecticut, and we're staying at my friend's family's 1920s cabin, so little to no insulation. And we had a bunch of campers, Boy Scouts. They were all up there getting their winter badge, but they were all hanging out down on the first floor. Well, my friend and I, we were kind of going at it and thought they were all out camping. A little bit later, I mean, there's no insulation. It's just 2x6s on the floor.
Right.
We walk down and we hear the counters like, I can't believe they did that. And it was like, oh man.
Wow. Did you get a badge?
Downstairs and everyone staring at you is like, oh.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yep. It's the walk of shame of sorts. But
it absolutely was.
All right. Thanks, Duncan. Yep. We have been where, you start going and you don't realize the bed is squeaky or noisy.
You don't know.
Until you get going.
Yeah.
Or the banging headboard, where you got to grab a pillow and stuff it between the headboard and the wall.
Yeah.
And just go
sideways on the bed.
You do that sometimes, but also you can get the squeak. You get the squeak. And I've had many a vacation. Right. In fact, it happened at that hotel in Ireland, Preston, when we were at the that crappy hotel, George Bernard Shaw. Mm-hmm. I could hear the bed was squeaky as hell. I immediately pulled the mattress off onto the floor.
Yep.
And, you don't want to lose your stride,
Right.
And then when I pulled the mattress off the bed, there was a porn magazine under the mattress.
Shut.
I swear to God.
Oh,
on the box.
Cool.
Yes.
Wow. Bonus.
Yeah.
Not to go too off topic here, but Kathy and Nick, when you guys are away at college, did either you or your roommates do it while you guys were still in the room?
Yeah. Dave Taylor, man. He had no qualms. He just didn't care. And you'd get used to it. You're like, all right, I guess they're banging in the other bed.
Dude, wrong bed.
Right. There's just...
It's me.
There's nothing you can do about it. And initially, it's disconcerting, I guess. But
baby, your ass is so hairy. It's me.
Get out.
Dude, we did that
several
times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my freshman year, my roommate, for some reason, he had a stretch where he would sleep on the floor. And my girlfriend was over, and we, you know, she's like, I wonder if we could, I could do this on the, on, while you lay on your side. And I was like, well, let's try. Right? So I had to basically use my back as the, as a wall.
Yeah.
It worked.
Oh. It does. My first serious girlfriend was had the same similar situation case. In her, she was in a dorm room with her. There was someone else in that room. And really? Yeah, it's okay.
So your back was to the guy yeah. on the floor, and yeah. all he got to see is ham ass moving back and forth?
I didn't have to move at all to catch my drift.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually. What?
I had...
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. No. Thank you.
Kathy's on a juice cleanse. She goes... She doesn't want to vomit.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was doing a hobby, yeah. So to speak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me go to Sam. Hi, Sam. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Hey there. You guys rock.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. What's up, Sam?
Yeah. You know, my wife and I, she's passed. We were together 47 years.
Wow.
And whenever we left home,
yeah.
you know, motel sex is that, but it could have been the children's house or the mother's house. When we stayed somewhere, we always had sex in the bed.
Wow!
So every bed you slept in.
Wow!
You know, once you get involved, you ain't worried about what other people are hearing.
So
yeah, it's 47 years.
Man. I'm there,
and I love that, Sam. I say this with all due respect. It was probably exhaustion, right? Eventually.
near the end, maybe. But there was always fun to be had.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Sam, that sounds like that may have what kept you guys together for 47 years.
Well, she had to put up with my ass.
Sam, would you ever, if the opportunity lent itself to you, would you do it if you're in someone else's house and they were away? Would you do it in another room?
Have done that. Like to do it in the homeowner's bed.
Oh, my God.
You want to do it in the homeowner's bed. Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yes, Sam. All right, Sam, are you single now? Are you looking for a new companion?
No, I'm not looking. My wife died about 5 years ago, and I'm pretty good with my life how it is. You know?
All right. Aww. I hear
Sam,
you.
Sam, I love it. I could see you and your wife giggling about the fact that you would be going into the homeowner's bed, right?
Exactly. You know, I mean, and like I said, it was fun. You have to keep fun in your relationship.
We can learn a lot from this.
So Sam has a lot to, but Sam does remind me of something. There was, so my wife would periodically babysit the dogs of my brother-in-law's mother. So occasionally we'd go over
there.
To the and the that was like sure. one of those houses with the furniture and the plastic and like
oh no
and like
oh,
like God. Like old style
even Sam was like
no. it's like oh. But yeah it all was right. It was weird but when you're horny you just do it you know
oh man
yes it would make you sweat like hell.
The plastic on the cover yeah hey Sam it was great to talk to you man.
You guys keep doing what you're doing. I've been listening to you since you came to MMR, you know.
Thank you, man.
I've been an MMR guy for all these years, you know, but you guys make the morning worthwhile.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you, my man. All right, Sam, we'll talk to you soon. Take care, buddy.
Take care.
All right, somebody chuck that guy in bank. Come on.
That was great.
Yeah, he said he's happy with his life the way it is.
Yeah.
So I had a friend who, it was during a party, but yeah, a couple went up into their master bedroom, the homeowner's bedroom, and they actually, not only did they use the bed, but they fell asleep. And so she found them in her bed, completely naked.
Wow.
And of course, you know, we were there. So she was like, hey, come up here.
Oh, that's great.
You know what? Sam's got a good point. Because I've been married for a while now and over 20 years. And we used to have the, you know, let's do it here. You know what I mean?
That naughtiness.
Naughty and exciting and stuff like that. We haven't had the urge to do that in a long time. I think it's time to bring that back.
I do, Preston, all the time. I say to my hand, let's do it.
Let's do it over here.
Let's do it over here.
We got time.
Yeah. Come on.
Bill's not going to be back in his office in a little while.
Hand, let's go into the closet.
Let's do it in here.
No, I think I'm going to reinstitute that.
Here goes my other hand.
Stranger.
Uh-oh. Threesome.
Yep. I'm going to go to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. You are on the air, sir.
I'm on the radio?
Yeah.
All right.
What's up, dude?
So back in the, I don't remember what it was, when Hurricane Sandy hit, my wife and I, we were, you know, married just a year. So we lost power at our place, and we went to her grandmother's house to stay for the night. And, you know, things got a little hot and heavy overnight at grandma's house. And the next day after we left, my wife got a call here. Her grandmother was changing the sheets, and she goes, "Oh, I found a pair of your underwear in the bed, and I thought you might have just forgot them there." And so we didn't tell her what happened, but here I guess we just fell asleep without getting dressed afterwards. And,
I cleaned the semen out of it. It was all dried and crusty, like the top of a creme brulee.
Oh, my God.
The funny thing was, her grandparents were this sweet little Mennonite couple. So it's just, you know, of all people to find that kind of stuff, it couldn't have been better.
Oh, I had to work like the devil to chip away that dried semen in your shorts.
It was like what?
It was like the top of a creme brulee.
Yeah. Caramelized.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God. That devil getting that out of your shorts.
Your britches.
Just chipping away, flaking away. I'm like, what? That just is not letting go.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I pre-soaked it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go on the phone to Don. Hi, Don. You're on the air, sir.
Hey, how's you guys doing today, all right?
Good, man. How about you?
Cannot complain.
What's up, bud?
Not bad. We were, what you call, before we got married, there was a couple of friends of ours who got married first. They were people that were in the first house out of the crowd. Then we'd go over there like every other Saturday, play pinochle, any type of cards. Next thing you know, it's like 4:30 in the morning, and they're like, "Why are you guys driving home? And why don't you stay here and sleep on the floor?" I'm like, "Dude, it's your living room." He goes, "Yeah, sleep down here on the floor, the living room. Don't worry about a thing." He says, "That ain't be all right." I'm like, "All right, no problem." Next thing you know, there we are. We're doing the nasty. We're having a good time. Some of the wildest sex we ever had was right there in my buddy's living room floor.
On your buddy's living room floor. Okay. Did you ever come close to being caught?
No. We could hear them like getting done doing their business upstairs, or they'd go to the bathroom.
Oh, my God. Everybody's banging around the house.
Well, that pinochle gets you horny as hell.
Oh, yeah.
You got that right, man.
Dude, he agreed with you. Yeah.
We'd always have a good time over there. And, like, the icing on the cake was we'd wake up and my wife would go teach Sunday school.
go teach Sunday school.
Yeah, what a lovely woman. All right, thank you, Don. Appreciate it, man. All right. Well, it seems like nobody has any issues at all with that, Kath. So I think it's okay.
I think you do have to, though. You don't go and bang in the master bed if, you know, you've got to get some sort of clearance. Yeah. You have to be a clearance, excuse me.
Yeah. And I use your bedroom.
If they put you up in that room,
then it's okay. Yeah, agreed. You don't sneak off in there.
My wife will sometimes, if you know, brothers-in-law and sister-in-law will come into town. She has up in her bedroom. It's a big bed, and she'll, you know, you guys can have that, you know. So
they'll just know what they're doing in there.
Go to the monkey town.
All right. Interesting. Thank you for your calls, Sam, especially you. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break and come back in a moment. We are going to be speaking to Mr. Steve O because he has got a comedy special out. So we'll see how things are in his world. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
MMR and Live Nation are happy to announce the live performance drought is finally over. It's the Live In at the Drive-In Concert Series. A month of shows in the Phillies parking lot. You'll experience from your car. 93.3 WMMR and the Struts invite you to rock out live in your ride Saturday, August 22nd.
Your body talks! Your body talks!
The Live In at the Drive-In Concert Series.
A socially awesome solution
to a performance-less pandemic featuring the Struts and many
more. See the full schedule at WMMR.com. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com from 93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
We're going to get our friend on the line. He has got a comedy special that is out, and it is described as a multimedia comedy special loaded with really dumb stuff.
Yeah, just watch the trailer. That's all you need to do.
And it is called Gnarly. Please welcome our buddy Steve-O to the show. Hey, Steve-O. Hey, man.
Yeah, dude. So good to be back with you guys, man. I love you, dude.
We appreciate it, man. We love having you on. Listen, dude, and I love the fact that you have named the show Gnarly, because I use that word all the time, especially when it's really hot out. I describe it as being totally gnarly. I have a neighbor across the street, and I was talking to him about the weather, and he's much older than I am, and I said gnarly, and I'm like, I wonder how stupid I sound to him. But gnarly's a perfect description, I would imagine, for what we can find in the special, right?
Oh, dude, it's the only thing that I could have called it. Like, I've been through your guys' station, you know, hanging out, talking about my stand-up comedy many times. And I've been very fortunate in Philadelphia at the Helium Comedy Club with great turnout. But here's the thing about this, right? Like, my stand-up has always been just, like, the stories about the craziest things I've done, the craziest things that have happened to me. And when I was putting together this new show, at one point it just struck me that all of these crazy stories in this new act were things that happened on camera at some point. So then I thought, well, what if I made my new special, like the stand-up, but I edit in the footage so that the footage illustrates the stories I'm talking about.
Wow.
And my head exploded.
I mean, it's the perfect way to package it. I mean, so basically something that you're doing on stage, it actually goes effortlessly right into a special of this nature, just watching the production value. And I'm going to watch this tonight. I wanted to make sure I'm going to be able to set time aside and watch it. It's streaming. It's not it was like $9-$10 to do it. You can go right to your site to get it. But it looks like it has a real Jackass movie, you know, production level to it. And then the stand-up as well. So I think it's a perfect synergy of these things.
Oh, dude, I'm so excited about it, man. And as far as production, man, I spent over $250,000 making this thing. It's the most money I've spent on anything in my life. And I couldn't be more happy about it. It's like, it's so explicit, too, that it's just so filled with, like, terrible things. And I love it.
In a way, as I was watching it, I'm watching the footage and I'm getting excited to watch the full thing. There was a point, I'm sure, in your life and, like, you know, and Johnny Knoxville, you know, you have everybody. You have Johnny Knoxville and you have Wee Man and Pontius and the whole collective. But anyway, you have all those guys. And I'm sure there's a time at which you told us about it here where you're like, I don't know, does this, the stuff that I do, does that pour into this next stage of my life? Well, here you are, and yes, it does. You found a way to move it along and still do it, and do it in a way that still works. It still holds up, because there's such outlandish stuff, and there's one stunt in particular that I know you basically got pretty incinerated on, and that's in the special. I mean, so as you're putting it together, do you yourself, when you're on tour with the show and doing these video segments, do you say to yourself, I still got it?
Yeah, well, there's a sense that, like, I'm running out of time. I better hurry up and do my craziest stuff ever before it gets creepy to watch me do it.
But it's not. You're doing it, and it's to me, it seems just as fresh as ever.
Oh, dude, I really feel that it's... For this, I totally got away with it, with the exception of the one stunt that left me covered in skin grafts. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, he's talking over it. If you're not sure about whether you want to watch it, just watch the teaser. Go to Steve's site and just run the preview. And it looks like you're on the ground in flames.
Oh yeah! The stunt was called Fire Angels.
Okay.
So I was laying down, like, you know, when you lay in the snow and you make snow angels.
Yeah.
That was I was laying down in rocket engine fuel.
Oh, my God. And Steve-O, I'm looking at your Instagram and your stunningly beautiful girlfriend that you have. I guess it was her birthday back in May, and you posted some pictures of the two of you together. What does she have any say in any of this stuff that you undertake?
She is for the most part right there, you know, facilitating the production.
Wow.
She's pretty much down with everything. Except she doesn't like it when I'm naked. If it involves having my wiener out, she doesn't like it too much. Except she did paint my wiener for one bit of the scene. I didn't want it all to be old stories. So what I did was I filmed all new crazy jackass stuff to fill it up with new stuff as well. And one of my bits was... based on the premise that women can paint their boobs and walk around.
Oh, my God.
So why can't I paint my wiener and do whatever I want? And that one was a lot of fun.
Well, there's a little clip where you see you appear to be in bike shorts. Like you're on a bicycle and you're coming down some steps and it doesn't go quite right. And a guy comes over to help. And obviously you've staged the fall so that the guy will come over and help you. And then he clearly notices that it's your dong is painted black.
Yeah. Right when I was getting ready to go film that bit, we had me all done up as a hardcore cyclist, and just with my shorts painted on, I texted a photo to Johnny Knoxville of me all done up like that, and he wrote back, "That's the smallest black one I've ever seen."
So were they all excited? Because as you said, Knoxville, Wee Man, Preston Lacey, and Bam, obviously, good to see Bam. In this, that's cool. Was everyone just, I mean, I'm sure you didn't have to convince anybody. I'm sure they eagerly came back.
It was the first time. I mean, it's so cool the first time the entire Jackass cast got together for a project since we lost Ryan Dunn 9 years ago.
Right.
I mean, it meant so much. And this was for the opening sequence as well as the guys intermittently come on stage throughout the show and do stunts live in the special as well. God, this thing's so loaded, and I love it. For the opening sequence, like most comedy specials, you got to get into the theater. So I thought, why don't I make a billboard promoting the special itself on one of those billboard trucks that you see driving around Las Vegas? Well, duct tape me to the billboard truck, and the guys can torture me and stuff. So Knoxville's hitting baseballs at my head while I'm duct taped to this truck. And we all have a big laugh at the whole cast of Jackass. And then they drive the truck down the highway with me duct taped to it, hundreds of miles. It's because I taped the show in Denver, and we did the opening sequence in L.A.
Oh, my God.
And I was driven that first day. I was driven 200 miles.
Taped to the side of a truck.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about sunburn?
I was wondering that too, sunburn. But how about, I would imagine, did people try to, follow you for a long time once they realized that it was you on the side of the billboard?
The way that we did it, we knew that we would never get out of Los Angeles, with me in plain sight, taped to the... So we taped me to the side of the truck, and I was up there. Then we mounted a box over me. So I was still taped to the truck, but not visible. And we drove out of L.A. to Barstow, and then we took off the box and just got us flying down the highway 80 miles an hour with semi-trucks, and all that. I was taped to the truck for 8 hours the first day.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. You guys are always true to your word like that. Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, man, it was. It really felt like, like making a Jackass movie
with
all the guys. And, it's so much fun.
Well, I'm really excited, man.
And by the way, we want to point out it's only available with a stream on steveo.com. That's the only place you'll be able to see it, right?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. We'll make sure everybody is aware. It's $9.99. We know you got to run, Steve-O, and we can't wait till all this craziness is over and we can see you back in Philly and in our studio, okay?
Right on, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You guys are top five favorite radio stations.
Oh, oh man, we appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
Nice.
Appreciate it. Steve-O, guys!
Yeah!
Gnarly! Steve-O's awesome, man.
And he's not kidding. You saw the footage running up here on the preview. I'm going to watch tonight because I want to make sure I'm not distracted. Just sit down. But you remember when you started to see that first Jackass stuff, when you started to see that show, and you're like, I can't believe what I'm watching. And the fact that they're, you know, on in years in their lives and they're still doing stuff this crazy is amazing.
Didn't you say, Steve, that Bam has been on a sober tour?
Yeah, Bam. So I follow him on Instagram, and he was doing this thing where he was going around with skateboarders, and it was like a sober tour. And I don't know the exact name of what he was doing, but it seemed basically reaching out to people, you know, to show that you can embrace the parts of the lifestyle that he really loved right at the beginning without the addiction.
Good.
Yeah.
And then I hope it's taken for him. It did for Steve-O. Changed his life. Yeah. Saved his life.
He was the worst.
He was the worst, and he was one of the worst, and he's headed down a path of destruction, and it is turned around, saved his life, and he's like, man, he's happy to be alive.
And he's like, you know, warts and all over Instagram. And he did, there's one Instagram video that he put up because he documented like almost all of it. And he kind of goes through, like, he basically did every single drug out there. And and it's all there on film, and he puts it on Instagram.
Crazy. Wow. So the special's only $10. It's well worth it.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let me see. I guess I should, we got a few minutes. I should clean some stuff out.
All right, let's do it.
I got some stuff to talk about. Let's see what we can find. Excuse me. How embarrassing. I mean, I was just digging through the drawer, and, you know, I guess it slipped out. Oops. What?
Just on that note, I've gone hiking and biking this week, and as I'm hiking through Mount Misery in Valley Forge, I have to let off some steam.
Yeah.
No. And before I do it, thank God I didn't do it in front of anybody.
Do your bike shorts inflate?
No. It's very, air can easily pass through. Yeah. But I have to look around before, you know, like before I'm about to, you know, put on the afterburners.
I've been out on what I believe to be a very remote trail, you know, like very remote. And I'm like, I'm just going to go in two yards here and pee against this tree. Mm-hmm. And don't you know, some sort of school group rounds the corner. And
it's a brownie troop.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Okay. So you're right. You have to look no matter where you are.
Yep.
Let me dig back in here again. So sorry. A new study finds that short-term pleasurable activities that don't lead to long-term goals contribute at least as much to a happy life as self-control. And to reword this, hedonism leads to happiness. And essentially, doing things without being concerned about the consequences sometimes will help you lead a happy life.
So would this make a case for playing video games? Like if there's no direct, you know, if you're not going to become like a professional gamer, it is an activity that just gives you pleasure.
I guess so.
That's hedonist.
Yes.
A hedonistic thing to do.
The researcher said the pursuit of hedonic and long-term goals needn't be in conflict with one another. Our research shows both are important and can complement each other in achieving well-being and good health. It's important to find the right balance in everyday life, she adds. But really enjoying one's hedonic choice.
Hedonic.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. Hedonistic, I've heard. But hedonic choice isn't actually simple for everybody because...
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's hedonic.
Because of distracting thoughts. Do you sometimes, on occasion, just go, I don't care. I'm just doing this. Just because it's simply fun, just or enjoying or pleasurable or whatever word you want to use to describe that.
I do. A lot of that also manifests in therapy shopping. Like, I want this dumb snorkel mask. I want to try this dumb thing that I saw, and I want to get it and just play with it, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And there's no real justification.
And it's, you know, and I just go do this. And for me, that's how a lot of that expresses itself.
So essentially, it's doing something that you probably shouldn't be doing, that you oughtn't to do anyway, and not worrying about.
It's like the Inquisition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And not worrying about, I should be doing something else. I should be spending my time being productive.
I have a hard time, though, getting myself in that frame of mind to do that.
Right.
I have so whenever I go away on vacation, I always have to work out first thing in the morning to justify being and do a little bit of something. And it's hard. But when I give myself the permission to do that, it feels great.
Yes. And that's what you're supposed to do, but not all the time.
Right. It's then okay, you become a sloth.
Well, and then you become just you don't care, or it's not necessarily that you're, you know, you might drink too much. You might be philandering. You know, you might be
doing. I had three testicles.
And you might grow another testicle.
You might grow another ball for some reason. But anyhow, they're saying that it's okay to just dive into the pleasure dome every now and
what's
then.
What's the most, besides stay there, the obvious, you know, sexual things and stuff like that, what's the thing that brings you the most? It's your drumming. You enjoy the drumming, right?
Well, I do, and that's fun, but I wouldn't consider, yeah, I guess from time to time, I'm like, yeah, I should
You should probably be with your family.
I should probably be doing something else.
Talking
but I'm just
to
gonna
some
go jam.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's yeah, I don't know. I can't come up with any good examples, to be honest.
I don't think of the drumming as hedonic, though. I think of that as like cathartic and an outlet for you, but not necessarily something that you would consider hedonic or hedonistic.
Usually pleasures of the flesh is...
Yeah. Or alcohol or drugs or chocolate. You know, like things that are... I think of it anyway. Yeah. Something that's kind of... There's a little bit of sin involved.
There's an interesting... we're having trouble defining what that would be, and that goes to this. Finding that thing that is... hedonic and that you really enjoy that gives you that sort of pleasure. Like simply having a chocolate bar is not, to me, isn't what this is about. It's something like, you know what, I'm just gonna go
but it might be
I'm gonna watch a movie. It's I probably should be doing this, but I'm gonna go watch a movie.
It might be hedonic if you're on a strict regimen, you know,
right.
A diet regimen or something
and
like that.
You have
that,
a banana split.
Or you have a goal of losing weight and you're like, screw it, I'm getting a milkshake.
All right, but like I mean just
and then not caring about the fact you shouldn't be doing that.
Maybe over the years the word hedonism has taken on a new meaning. Because of places like hedonism,
right.
You know, the like basically a sex resort in the Caribbean.
Oh, God, I always wanted to go there.
But the definition, I mean, the first definition is just the pursuit of pleasure. Sensual self-indulgence. So,
well, sensual in itself means sexual.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't
know. No, it doesn't?
No, it's just sensory.
No.
You know, so it's anything sensory. So, like, maybe... Going to get a massage without a happy ending is something that would be hedonistic.
Yeah. I love how you had to qualify it.
Where?
Without a happy ending.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But I say splurge for the happy ending. That's what they're saying.
Splurge.
You know what? Bring me to climax.
Shouldn't it be a happy beginning?
Throw that on.
Could you imagine just saying that while you're getting a massage?
Hell, you know what?
Just bring me to climax.
Bring me to orgasm. Slap it on there.
And then massage.
All right.
So
actually, that would be good, right?
A happy beginning.
Do that for a happy
mind.
Beginning.
Yeah. I've never gotten either, but it, like if
and
I'm going to go for it, start off.
Yeah.
Right, because then
that's
I'm
actually, like, that's way better.
You know what?
Let's celebrate with a massage.
How about this? For 50 minutes, spank it, and then just pat the top of my head for the massage.
High five.
No, look what we did. Now let's get a massage.
Yeah. Go team.
Now clean that up.
Now clean that up, please.
That's hedonic.
Let me see. Okay, here we go. Let's go to, this actually might be a good example. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, bud.
Bajmir Ipa.
Bajmir Ipa. I don't know what Ipa is.
Would be
happy.
Happy hand. All right, what's up, Mike?
Rimja.
What's going on, guys? So, to me, hedonistic would be going to a place like Alinea in Chicago and spending $450 a person per ticket for a 12-course meal and then another $250 for a wine pairing.
There you go.
There you go.
That's perfect.
That's it.
If you can afford it or even if you can just barely afford it and you don't care, you just let that go. That's the definition of what this is.
Or you intercept your grandma's Social Security checks and then you go pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had
good
that.
Good point. Thanks, Mike.
I don't normally like going to really expensive restaurants because I don't necessarily see the real value in it. However, I have been on occasion. You know what? Yeah, let's just do it. You know, I never would
let's go
order,
to the last stand.
Order a bottle of wine with dinner because the markup is just ridiculous. But I have been on an occasion. You know what? Yeah, let's just do it. You know, whatever.
Yes, and that's it. And that's part of the experience that you're having right now.
Right, especially when it's somebody else's money.
Dr. Mike will write, he jokes about it, but he goes, I will write you a prescription for, you know, getting that Batman figure or doing this. That is the spice of life.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you're just a unit that's just existing without trying to embrace the joys of things like this.
I buy a lot of things that I don't necessarily need, and maybe that is hedonistic. You know, I bought light up shoes, and I love it. Listen, there's something that's coming in the mail today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I can't wait to show you guys tomorrow.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
All right,
and it's funny because totally didn't need it. Didn't cost that much money. I think it was like $40 or something that. But my wife, you know, she gets the alerts on Amazon. She's like, I almost declined that order, and she didn't. She's like, what do you need that for? I'm like, I know.
Why do you have your account synced up that way?
It's her account.
Yeah.
Seriously?
No, it's for checks and balances, so he doesn't go crazy.
No, because
I don't do that for the very reason that when I'm ordering Claire Christmas presents and stuff like that, I don't want her getting those alerts.
We have the same account, Rochelle and I do, and I'm just like, I got you something.
Yeah,
I'll just say that. I got you something, you're going to see it. So.
Don't look at the orders. Yeah. No, we have the same account because she had the account first, and I never... I never got around
the same
it.
Way. Me too.
Yeah. You had the account. I'm just
but you're not allowed to have a credit card or a debit card.
I have both of those.
Oh, it used to be that way.
I think you're twisting words. listen,
you chose not to have them.
You get an allowance.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I buy things like light-up shoes, guys.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm aware of the stupid, silly, frivolous things that I buy
That would be hedonic, I think. Mm-hmm. That whole thing would be part of the joy of what Preston's talking about.
Yeah. All right, let me see what else I can find in the junk drawer. Yeah. Let's see. Hang on. Dig it through. Okay, how about this? Kathy, have you ever heard of a nap dress?
No. Is that something you sleep in?
It's a new pandemic fashion trend.
A nap dress?
Yes. The term is trademarked by Hill House Home founder. I should read ahead. Hill House Home founder Nell Diamond. In January, Nell came up with this before the pandemic gained recognition in the U.S.
Where y'all gone? What?
Yes.
Is this actually a dress that you
so tired, I like
take a nap in, or is that just what they call the dress? Yes.
Well, the luxury bed brand has an entire shop dedicated to the dress, which is structured enough to be worn out of the house, but is designed for lounging.
Okay.
Nap dresses are flowy and at the same time cozy. And it also makes them a popular Instagram look.
This reminds me of 60s fashion, like quasi hippie girl fashion.
It even looks a little further back than that. Yeah.
Like a nightgown.
It looks kind of like a nightgown.
It's like Little House on the Prairie.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. is it for women only?
If you like wearing women's clothing,
what are you, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Well, you know, I think it's unfair that it's marketed
that women have nap clothing and guys don't.
Yes,
we have sweats,
and it used to be culturally acceptable for men to wear nightgowns. And somewhere along the way, we lost our way, and now it's not. You're not allowed to anymore because you know,
Nick,
you frown upon.
You can, but you have to wear a really long pointy cap.
Nightcap.
Nightcap.
No, thank you.
I'm going to have my gruel sitting by the Christmas tree that I stole from a local forest.
People online are divided on the look, with some saying it's just an expensive nightgown, and others are saying it's a brilliant way to stay stylish and comfortable during the strange time we are living in.
If it's a way to rip you off because it's now classified as this trendy thing, then it's stupid. But if it looks comfortable...
It's just another style. That's
But $125.
Is that what they're going for?
That's what the pre-order price is. Yeah.
Speaking of the style and taking a step back in time, which is kind of what this looks like it's doing. Steve, The Godfather was on yesterday. I was watching it. And when Michael goes to Sicily, you know, they go from New York to shooting in Sicily. And the clothing change that they make in that makes it look like they went back 50 years in time.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And,
well, The Godfather itself takes place in, like, the 40s, 50s. Yeah,
but I'm saying, but when they go to Sicily, it looks like it went even further back in almost the 1800s in the clothes that they're wearing.
Even the weapons they're carrying.
But I guess it's just, you know, the regions and different styles. But
I would like to buy a nap dress.
Excuse me.
This is very, if people knew who I was, they would want me dead. I need to have a comfortable night dress.
You see the nap dress.
But apparently this is...
I want to make it my regular Saturday night thing.
This is... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is apparently a trend that's starting to happen. Whether or not it takes off, I don't know. That looks... It doesn't look like it'll fit in to current fashion.
I would like to buy some thigh-high boots and a nap dress.
It will, because if you look at it, it's like kind of like has poofy shoulders or sleeves, and that's like
poofy shoulders and sleeves.
Yeah, that's like super in, and you know,
is the really? Poofy
yeah.
is in?
Yeah,
I never have really liked that look.
You know, what I thought was the worst look was the shoulder pad stuff.
Yeah,
that just looks so just weird. Like, everybody looked like a linebacker.
Yeah, yep. That was a big thing for a while. It did look strange. But anyhow, nap dresses, Kath, look into it. All right, let's see what else I can find. Apparently, it's going to be a big fall for hunters. With many businesses and industries still being impacted by the coronavirus and the resulting shutdowns, it seems more people are turning to the outdoors to stay busy.
It seems to be that way.
And it has led some to believe that this fall will be a busy, busy hunting season.
Happy day.
Various states across the country saw a significant increase in the number of fishing licenses sold. The New Mexico Department of Game and Fish, for example, has already sold 6,000 more licenses this year than last year.
You know what I think? I always sort of flirt with the notion of doing it because it looks so zen. Is fly fishing?
I've done it, and it is.
Yeah.
It's great.
I don't even need to catch a fish.
Yeah, just go out there.
I love being in the creeks. You know,
my brother actually traveled to Belize to do a documentary on a fly fisherman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But we have a fishing license now because we wanted to take Jace fishing one day.
Okay.
And you needed a license where we were going. So now we have a fishing license.
Fishing to me is kind of like skiing in that you got to get all this crap together. You got to make sure everything's ready to go. You got to get to the place. You got to unload all that stuff. You got to put all that crap on. You got to trudge through until you find your spot. But once you get there, it's great. And it's the same thing with skiing, because every time I would load up that car with all that crap and put the suit on and blah, 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 and all this done. But by the time I got up on the hill and we were moving, I'm like, this was worth it.
Wait a second.
This is a lot of fun.
Wait a second. Where's my nap dress?
Yes.
But there's so much more stuff for skiing. I feel like fishing isn't
It depends on what you're doing. If you guys are just going to go to the bridge and throw a line over the side,
you don't need that much.
Then you don't need that much.
If you're going to be wading into the creek,
if you're going to fly fish and you need waders and all that other stuff,
yeah, but you have a tackle box. It's already in there.
Your waders and everything. Waders, Kathy, come all the way up to here,
and they have straps over your shoulders.
I was thinking of like the little weights.
No,
waders. Yeah, yeah. Waders.
Would you like your sandwich here, ma'am?
Yes, waiter.
No, she thought. Yeah, that's like
Kathy's. Kathy's system. I have your tequilas here, sir.
Yeah, like the little thing you put at the end, so it drops the hook.
The weight, the little lead weight. Yeah.
Do you need a fishing license to fish in the oceans and bays? Like if you angle off the coast?
Okay. I do
what,
not
from
know
the
that.
Shoreline, you mean?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
You don't. You do.
You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do
don't.
It.
No, you don't.
Like
you
during the regular beach hours, right? You have to wait until, or at least I think, in Wildwood, you have to wait until the lifeguards leave. So that's like 5:30.
Not necessarily. There are certain areas that you can fish all day long.
Okay. We used to surf cast on Long Island. We'd surf cast near what the Lilco Long Island power thing. And now that I think about it, you do actually have to have a.
For New Jersey, it's license. Not required for recreational surf casting, deep sea, or bay fishing. However, New Jersey saltwater anglers must register with the saltwater recreational registry program So you have to register, but you don't need the license.
Okay, okay. So you don't have to pay.
Right. I wonder how many times someone gets called on it, though, if they haven't. I mean, you go to some stretch of beach, you know, the likelihood of you being discovered is fairly nominal.
You need a license and permit for crabbing and clabbing.
Clabbing?
And clamming? Clamming.
Look, oh, my God. Look at the size of that clam.
I like clabbing and cramming.
Yeah. Raz went clamming recently.
I went out with a few of the fellas, and we were cramming all afternoon. My ass is killing me.
Clamming.
This guy had a unit the size of a clab.
Crabbing and clamming are two separate things.
Yes, they are.
That's what I was trying to say.
I'm a little hot and cold on surf casting. It looks cool. I like the idea of it, but...
It's hard.
Well, no.
The likelihood of you catching something is very slim.
Trust us. We spent years doing it, and my dad is probably... He might be in the Guinness Book of World Records as the worst fisherman that's ever been on Earth. And we would go and do it, and yet it didn't matter. I still had a blast.
It's another reason why I don't necessarily like going in the ocean, because I have a fear that of those guys losing their hooks, and then I step on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. And it does happen occasionally. You know what? The thing is that I would end up, when you'd catch something, you'd let it go.
Yeah.
You know? And then once we did prepare some striped bass, and that was okay. And that's fine, but for the most part, just...
Catch and release.
Yeah.
Catch and release. Well, do you eat clabs or no?
No clabs. Okay. No.
You need some clab sauce, really.
I wouldn't mind crabbing. What all is involved in crabbing?
You just
trap, right?
You just stick some raw chicken in a trap.
In a clab trap.
In a clab trap. And then you... What, but you
or
can
just
also...
Go to Clab League at Red Clabster.
You can do... you can do single crab traps where you actually sit there and you kind of wait... With the trap, and then you wait for the clab to go in there, and then you yank it up.
You do need...
Yanking my clab last night.
You need a 30-pack of beer pressed, and it's required. Okay.
It's required.
Oh, my God. If you want to see... there's the classic scene in Jaws where everyone's getting ripped to go out, and they're on their boats, and they're trying to catch sharks. A lot of times you'll see... people who are surf casting again getting ripped and out at, if they're doing the fly fishing in a particular area, and someone will hook someone else, or it happens all the time.
I see down, because I really do enjoy the beach, like after hours, right? So when the lifeguards leave, that's when the kids can actually start doing their skimboarding and stuff like that. But that's when you really see some cool activity. And there's this one guy, he likes to surf cast, and what he'll do, and I guess this is what you're supposed to do, is he walks out like 50 or 75 yards to cast out so he can get out a little bit deeper.
Past the surf, past the breaking waves, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, but as opposed to getting out on a boat, and using a depth finder and knowing where the reefs and stuff are.
Oh, we did all that.
You can find the fish.
Oh, we did. Oh, here's this must be some sort of undersea. We found a gorge, and we then look, and you can see, and you're tracking, and we never caught a damn thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the deal is you go to where the fish are as opposed to waiting for the fish to come to you. That's the difference between surf casting and getting on the boat with a depth finder and everything.
We used to do the whole thing, the umbrella rigs, when we troll behind the boat and all that stuff.
I don't ever want to go deep sea fishing ever again. However, if I could, I would go out into the ocean if I could still see land. Like I would go like a mile out max. And
if you want to do some real serious, some deep sea stuff,
I don't want to do that.
Go wait, like when we went shark fishing off Montauk.
Yeah.
You go off the continental shelf. You go way out.
I just want to go as far if I can. If I feel like I can swim back to the beach, then that's how far out I want to go.
Okay. Well, you can do that stuff in Florida. They have reefs that aren't too far off that you can still see land. But if you want to go for the bigger fish, like Steve said, you got to go like 30 miles out and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's a waste.
What if Bernie Perron took you out? You know, like could go out with an expert, go out with a friend.
As long as I could see the beach, see the shoreline, I'm fine.
Don't worry, you can still see the land, you pussy.
I'll allow for you to call me that.
By the way, somebody pointed out, no clab, bro. It's Friday.
Hey, have you guys ever seen a whale?
Countless times.
I have not. Never in my life. I've loved it.
If you wanted some of the best whale watching, where Kathy's going, betray where your vacation is, but Boston.
What's the season?
Now.
Is it now?
Summer. Boston.
Cape Cod is great for
Cape Cod as well?
Yeah.
Because they have whale watchers off of Jersey coast, right?
They're not as great. And you're much more likely to see dolphins here than you are, But Cape Ann, which is north of Boston, south of New Hampshire.
It's the shallows. They come in. So the whales come in. The water is more shallow in that area. And Casey, I have footage. I have loads of footage. You start to see the water bubble, and you'll verify this. It takes on a green hue as everything's getting stirred up by the whales. Yeah.
It gets really calm.
Right, and then they come up, and it is amazing. It's breathtaking to see these huge creatures rising up like that.
Yeah, Steve, we did a whale watch off Cape Ann one time, and they'll cut the engine, so you're just sitting there floating in the boat, and the whales, sometimes, if you're really lucky, will kind of rotate, and they end up on their back, and their flukes and their flippers go on the side. It's a pretty magical experience. You have to get lucky. Yeah. You know, you can go out on a whale watch and not see a damn thing. But if you go out a whale watch and see a few whales, especially humpbacks, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would like to do that. By the way, here, backtracking a minute to the fishing, I got a text that says, we used to fish at Graffiti Pier in Fishtown, and I hooked my brother in the chin. He was crying like a little bitch. His name is Nicholas Steckelback, and he's a listener. And I yelled that because it's all in caps. Of course, if you hook somebody in the chin, they're going to cry. Don't bust your brother's balls about that, man. That would hurt really bad.
Oh, my God. I got one on my finger one time. And then, obviously, the hook is designed. It has that little prong that
sticks
out.
It's got a barb.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not pleasant.
Yeah. By the way, with the hunting licenses, they're supposed to sell a lot. Last year, hunting licenses generated more than $31 million. Fishing licenses generated nearly $9 million. It was previously reported that the Maine moose hunt permit lottery.
Why don't you forget the moose?
Wow.
For a moment.
Have you ever gone moose fishing?
Attracted
Why
tens,
don't you forget the moose?
Tens of thousands of applicants this year.
You put a crab on a hook.
But they only allow 3,135 moose permits. And
that seems like a lot, doesn't it?
3,000?
Maybe not.
Tens of thousands wanted to do it.
Yeah. So. What is the average moose population in any given year in the United States?
Oh, if you go to Maine, it's pretty frequent, and you can see them, you know, like
I saw a couple of them.
Tetons, you see them there as well. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let me find something else before we wrap this up. Okay. How about this? We were talking about gas earlier. 12 miles wide, invisible to the naked eye, and traveling across 6 counties to Florida's largest city. It was a huge, mysterious methane plume, and they still don't know who or what was responsible for it.
That's alarming.
Yeah.
The estimate. Are those two different ones
those
at the
are
same
two
time?
Ones. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Estimated to total of 300 metric tons, and it was released north of Gainesville. Between May 2nd and May 3rd, when it reached Jacksonville, according to Bluefield Technologies, which analyzed data from the European Space Agency's Sentinel 5P satellite. They actually saw it from satellite. It was so
Is
big.
It possible that it lifted up from the swamps?
No. Well, I don't know. It says a global warming agent that is 80 times more potent than carbon dioxide. Methane has become a major source of concern for environmentalists and climate-minded investors who are stepping up pressure on energy companies to curb emissions of the gas from oil fields, pipelines, gas storage facilities, and power plants.
There's one of the, I guess it was for the longest time, an unsolved mystery. There was this town that was right on a small lake, and all the inhabitants of that town one night died. They died. They died in their sleep, and they found out that the there was sort of a gas that was sitting under the surface of the water, and the atmospheric conditions were such one evening that they allowed the gas to come up, and the cloud just moved into the town and killed everyone.
They couldn't breathe. It took over the oxygen.
Yeah.
People couldn't breathe.
Can you light that on fire? Like if you
methane? Yes, you could. Right.
Yeah, and if could you imagine if this thing lit up?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like a bomb going off. The source of the Florida emission remains unknown. Its volume was the equivalent to roughly 1% of total daily emissions from the U.S. natural gas system in 2018.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. Getting horny just thinking about it. So I thought that was kind of
that is amazing.
Yeah. So
again, another story I remember from years ago. A guy hiking, I think it was in Kentucky, Preston, out in the middle of nowhere. Lights a cigar or something, and acres around him just blew up.
No kidding.
Yeah, he was in some sort of ditch or depression in the topography, and gas had accumulated. Natural methane had built up, and it detonated.
Isn't that one of the theories on what's in the Bermuda Triangle?
Yes.
Yes.
That there are gas plumes that come up from underneath the ocean and can, I guess, somehow or another.
That's what makes the crabbing so good.
A ship or something like that. All right. Anyhow, that was the last thing. I want to take a break. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This has been the junk drawer, so thank you. I want to take a break and come back in a second and get into some bizarre file stories. And remember, we still are going to talk to Al Roker this morning at the end of the program, so we'll spend some time with him. We'll be back in a sec. Make sure you stay with us.
MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series, an hour-long concert made up of the best live performances ever captured.
MMR rocks Foo Fighters.
In concert, Saturday night at 7. Rob jonesing for live music, and this should help. So hit the backyard, get the tailgate started, and crank up MMR every Saturday night this summer at 7. It's MMR's Saturday Night Concert Series.
Sponsored by Acme Markets, official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. This week, Foo Fighters.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
All right, it's B-File time.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with a story of survival. A married couple who slid about 700 feet down Mount Hood, rescued Sunday by teams coordinated through the sheriff's office. The couple, who had asked not to be identified, were climbing Sunday morning when they fell. Other climbers spotted them around the 10,000-foot elevation west of Hogsback behind Crater Rock and began providing help. After getting the call around 9:40 a.m., the first rescuers reached them around 1 p.m. The 33-year-old woman was more seriously hurt. She was stabilized and taken to the hospital. She's expected to recover. The 30-year-old man came down on his own power and helped his wife with the rescuers. They were roped together, but they weren't setting anchors to hold a fall. So is that, Nick, is that part of mountaineering? You rope yourself together even if you're not?
Yeah.
Hooked up to stuff?
I think I'm probably told you guys this, but when I went up Rainier, I was hooked and roped together with three people, including a lead climber, and we were coming back down, and I tripped and fell, and as I fell forward, I started taking the other people with me. It can be really dangerous. It's meant as a safety precaution, of course, but you're roped in with these other people so you can drag them down.
Yeah, that's what I always thought of. I didn't quite understand it because my thought is always that you're taking people with you if you're going, you know?
And the hope is that the guide is stronger and is more sure of foot than you are, but you can lose your balance and it can be a problem. I'm amazed that these people were rescued.
Well, they were wearing micro spikes instead of technical crampons for grip on the ice.
It's a good band name, Technical Crampons.
Technical Crampons. I like that.
Must be that time of the month.
She lost her footing, and they fell about 700 feet and landed close to the Hot Rocks fumarole. Miraculously, the resulting injuries were not life-threatening. So that's good.
Amazing.
Determination has paid off for a guy in North Carolina who is on the hunt for the final top prize in a scratch-off lottery game. Listen to this. Kevin Clark visited some 40 stores before scratching off the $5 million winner. He got it.
40 stores.
He had read that there was only one top prize remaining in the $5 million Mega Cash scratch-off game. So, dude, he knew they were around somewhere. So he just went out and he bought all of the $20 tickets that he could find.
Wow.
And
how much did he spend?
You know what it doesn't say, but there's no way.
$5 million.
Yeah. Yeah, right. His pricey gamble paid off when he scanned a ticket that he bought from a stop and go in Swinona. Clark took the option of accepting his prize as $3 million lump sum, which amounted to about $2,122,000 after taxes.
He might be the dumbest feller in Swinona.
But I mean, do you think he spent more than $100,000?
No. No, I wouldn't imagine that.
That's outstanding. He played the numbers, man. Yeah. He did it right. So that's cool. A 20-year-old man has been charged with harassment for allegedly rolling coal on people. You guys ever heard of rolling coal?
No, I have not.
So it's when these guys have these trucks with these big exhausts on them, and they can do something to make all this putrid black
smoke. Yes,
smoke.
I've seen that, yes.
So they call it rolling coal. He did it on people attending a Black Lives Matter rally. The incident happened when Dylan Frevel drove his pickup truck past hundreds of people at a rally, and on at least two occasions he quickly accelerated his truck as he passed the rally, causing thick plumes of diesel smoke to eject from his truck's exhaust pipe onto rally attendees, causing them discomfort. The act is known as rolling coal and is illegal in several states and municipalities. It's often done to people riding bicycles, people driving electric cars, and of late, people attending Black Lives Matter rallies.
Okay, so can you, is intentional? Like, can you control it?
You can.
Yeah, yeah, they do it on purpose. So Frevel was identified later through photos taken at the time after he had bragged about it on an Instagram post. So he has been charged with two counts. So he's going to have face a fine, most likely. Investigators with the Hawaii Attorney General's Office arrested a 20-year-old woman after seeing videos of her dancing in a store and dining out when she was supposed to be obeying a traveler's quarantine that the state mandated to protect against the spread of coronavirus. Anne Salamanca had arrived in Honolulu on July 6th, and 4 days later, the Hawaii Tourism Authority learned that she was out in public in violation of the 14-day quarantine. The Tourism Authority informed Attorney General special agents who were shown videos of her dancing and dining. She's from Birmingham, Alabama, and apparently she's a social media influencer.
Yes.
In the Philippines, who goes by Mika Salamanca, and arrived in from Manila. She apologized on social media, but she claimed law enforcement came to the house where she was staying and told her that if she had a negative COVID-19 test, she could not go out. None of my investigators, she said, would convey that information as it is incorrect, according to the attorney general. The fact is, Ms. Salamanca has so many followers, makes her actions that much more dangerous and concerning. The spread of misinformation can have a very severe consequence now. An emergency situation like we are in. And so she was arrested and released on $2,000 bail. So, you know, if you're high profile,
yeah,
you should not be doing
and
that.
And she's posting videos all the time.
Yeah, yep. All right, and then one more story. This is pretty wild. Some 500 North Korean ghost ships, some with skeletons inside, have washed ashore in Japan in the past 5 years. 500 of them.
Holy hell.
Last year, a boat was discovered with two human heads inside.
What?
As well as the decomposing remains of five other bodies after it came ashore on Sado Island. And it has been a mystery as to why the boats continue to run ashore, but it appears an answer has finally been found. According to Global Fishing Watch, the shipwrecks could be happening due to Chinese vessels being sent to fish illegally in North Korea's waters. And its report claims the illegal fishing operations to travel out further to sea, risking their lives in unsafe boats and then being swept away by strong waves and dying at sea. Japan's Coast Guard said more than 50 North Koreans have washed up on beaches in the past 2 years. They said the competition from the industrial Chinese trawlers is likely displacing the North Korean fishers, pushing them into neighboring Russian waters. The North Korean smaller wood boats are ill-equipped for this long-distance travel. And researchers used data from satellites in order to get a grip on what was happening out at sea, which it believes could point to a violation of UN sanctions that forbid fishing in North Korean waters.
That's effed up.
Yeah, so they're just simply being, they can't handle it. And
die and starve, yeah.
And then they end up washing ashore. That's messed
Jeez.
Up. And that is the Bizarre File for now. Let's take another break. Come back in a second. We'll get to trash, music news, lesson question, that stuff. So stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, what's going on? That's twice now. Where you been going? What have you been doing? You. I'm talking to you.
I'm here. Don't worry.
Every time I turn, I do. We get song ends. I'm looking around. Where's Kathy? Where'd she go?
I was in the office.
You're in the
She's
office?
Got an Easy Bake Oven in there.
Oh, cool.
It's quiet in there.
I used to have an Easy Bake Oven when I was a kid.
I loved them.
Amazed to find out it was just a light bulb that
really
stuck
to
food next to it. It would heat stuff up.
That's really it.
We would take, rather than make the little cakes that it came with, the cake mixes, we would get
brownies,
biscuits.
Ooh. Biscuits?
Yeah, biscuits.
Biscuits!
And cut off pieces from the biscuits.
Biscuits!
Make them small and stick them in there so they would fit in the Easy Bake Oven and cook those.
The stuff that it came with was like, it would come out as like a rock.
It was lame. Yeah, yeah.
It was terrible. It was
so
awful.
So that's why we would just make biscuits instead.
Biscuits!
So do your own little Easy Bake Oven magic today. All right, we're going to do today's lesson question. We are going to give away a $60 Metro Diner gift card. If you can tell me, when buying an Easy Pass at Acme, what else do you get with your purchase? 215-263-WMMR. They throw this in there. Okay?
It's amazing.
When buying an Easy Pass at Acme, what else do you get to purchase? It's thrown in there. 215-263-WMMR. It's not really, so don't go to Acme expecting this today when you buy your Easy Pass. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Let's get our daily dose. Here's some stories. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Wheel of Fortune has started up production this week with a newly designed wheel providing more social distance between contestants. Vanna White says she's excited to get back to work, but admits she's worried that they might have created new letters.
Oh my God.
61-year-old Madonna, seen on crutches, still healing from some injury that occurred during her Madame X tour earlier this year. Madonna admits the years are catching up with her and says she's considering relaunching in 2020 with the Madame X-Lax tour.
Hey!
And finally, Camilla, Duchess of Cornwall, is the first royal to be seen wearing a face mask during a visit to Boots Piccadilly store in London. Camilla donned the mask in response to a British survey asking, who really needs to wear a mask? And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All righty. Let's see if we can get an answer to today's lesson question. When buying an Easy Pass at Acme, what else do you get in that purchase? 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Greg. Hey, Greg. Gadzooks, Greg. All right, what do you get with your Easy Pass at Acme?
Yeah, you get yourself a carton of smokes there, sweetheart.
You got it. That is correct. Hang on, Greg. No smokes, but we do have a $60 Metro Diner gift card. Enjoy Metro Diner's new steak and scramble bowl featuring sirloin steak, scrambled eggs, roast grape tomatoes, and hash browns, drizzled with hollandaise sauce, plus other diner favorites in their reopened dining rooms. Or you can pick up for delivery via Uber Eats or DoorDash. Place your order at MetroDiner.com. All right, we're going to get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Stop! We're going to start with sad news, especially out of Philadelphia. Malik Abdul-Basit, who was a founding member of The Roots and played a prominent role on the group's early albums, Organics and Illadelph Half-Life, in the 1990s, has passed away. News of the death of the rapper who performed using the name Malik B was first reported Tuesday on Twitter by his cousin, Don Champion, who said he was, quote, mourning my beloved cousin today. He was so talented and had a huge heart. Champion did not give a cause or place of death. Questlove, Amir Thompson, and Tariq Black Thought Trotter confirmed Mr. Abdul-Basit's death in a statement to the Enquirer, saying, "It is with heavy hearts and tearful eyes that we regretfully inform you of the passing of our beloved brother and longtime Roots member Malik Abdul-Basit. May he be remembered for his devotion to Islam, his loving brotherhood, and his innovation as one of the most gifted MCs of all time." Trotter and Abdul-Basit had began working together when they were students at Millersville University in the early 1990s.
Wow.
I do not know why he was only on those albums or what the story was and the relationship with the band afterwards, but obviously sad news, and I don't know exactly how he passed either, but sorry to hear about that. Guns N' Roses have rescheduled their postponed 2020 tour dates for the summer of 2021. Rolling Stone posted, Guns N' Roses said that they were able to move most of their shows to new dates at the same venue, but had to cancel a handful, including stops in cities like Seattle and Atlanta, due to routing and venue availability issues that developed during the postponement process. Were they supposed to be here?
No.
No?
No, they were doing a whole bunch of football stadiums, and because they were here on their last tour for the football stadium, they weren't coming to Philly this time around.
Okay, wait, Marissa has conflicting facial expressions.
Only because somebody, Pierre Jackson, played a block of them the other day. I think they were supposed to be here last week.
Yeah, I thought Citizens Bank Park was...
I'm sorry. You're right,
that sounds right.
My bad, okay. I got it wrong.
You know what, Nick? There's so many shows that were announced this past year, it's hard to keep track of what was rumors and what was coming, and we've just forgotten about them all.
It's been a great year for concerts. It didn't happen.
And it looks like, as of the dates they announced, Philadelphia is not included. The closest I saw was East Rutherford, New Jersey, the MetLife Stadium near New York. So they won't be here unless they can get something together later on. We'll see about that. Stone Temple Pilots have been in rehearsals for the pay-per-view live performance of their entire 1992 debut album, Core, on Friday at 8 o'clock, so tomorrow this is going to be. And it may be the first of several full album performances, according to Dean DeLeo, who said that the idea for this event came from his brother and bandmate Robert. And Dean said, I think it was just a matter of sheer boredom and thinking of what to do. He said, hey, man, maybe we should get in a small room and play this first record. And if all goes well, we should just do each record. And we all love the idea. He said, look, we're all itching to get out and play. And, you know, we had over 100 shows pulled out from under us this year. Everything. Not rescheduled, canceled. And there's nothing on the books for 2021. So it's like, let's do something. Let's play. Friday's pay-per-view performance cost $9.99. We'll air live. Music curator. Wait.
Huh?
It will air via live music curator Nugs TV.
Nugs. Buddy. Nugs.
Yeah, right. Godsmack Sully Erna will be joined by members of Stain, Shinedown, Papa Roach, and more for his Live from the Living Room charity fundraiser. Other acts will include members of St. Asonia, Extreme, and Seven Dust. And Live from the Living Room will benefit the Erna Scars Foundation. And it will go down on August 6th at 8 p.m. and will stream on Erna's YouTube channel and the foundation's Facebook page. Sully said, I had always looked for ways to give back and help others in some way after reaching certain levels of success in my life, but I could never really figure out where to dedicate my time and attention and what was important to me, or where I even had experience to offer. I want to share that with people and lend my stories, my experiences, and my theories on how you can overcome challenging times rather than letting them ruin your life.
Yeah.
Exactly. Marilyn Manson's 11th studio album, We Are Chaos, will be released on September 11th.
Is it a tribute to Get Smart?
I don't think so. No, not their nemesis. Yeah. Manson made the announcement Wednesday and celebrated by releasing the title track. In a press release, he said, when I listen to We Are Chaos now, it seems like just yesterday, or as if the world repeated itself, as it always does, making the title track and the stories seem as if I wrote them today. The new album was produced by Manson and Shooter Jennings. Manson said, as a producer, he really pushed me to be both new and still true to what the core of Marilyn Manson is. His perspective added the transdimensional element that I was always looking to tap into. And then one last story. The Pretty Reckless announced yesterday that Heaven Knows has been certified platinum as a digital single. The band wrote on Twitter, Heaven Knows is officially platinum thanks to everyone who's been listening over the years. According to the Recording Industry Association of America, Heaven Knows was certified for reaching the milestone of 1 million units on July 15th. And the single originally appeared on the Pretty Reckless's second album, Going to Hell, which debuted at number 5 on the Billboard 200 chart back in 2014.
Like that band.
That is what I got for you. Me too. We have one more break to take, and when we come back, Al Roker.
Hey!
To wrap everything up with. So we will do that very thing. We'll come back in a moment, get Al. We'll also check him with Pierre, see what's coming up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week, all that stuff. Stay with us. Returning in a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I also got a Dunkachino.
Yeah.
That was nice. Thank you, Steve.
No problem. It's so good to have it back, isn't it?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Matt Calper, the Dunkachino worker. Somebody recommended yesterday that we get him an apron. and a little Dunkin' outfit.
Yeah,
when he's in there working on our Dunkachino machine.
That'd look sick.
It would be sick, wouldn't it? It is 10:27. In roughly 3 or 4 minutes, we're going to have Al Roker on. And this is the wrap-up break. We are going to get to the letter of the day and the word of the week prize and all that stuff in a little bit here. Normally, we don't do interviews at this time, but Al was available at this time, so we'll get to him in a moment.
So why not?
So we got a few minutes, so I'm not going to do our thank yous and all that just yet. We'll do that after we talk to Al. But you know what? I do have a couple of pieces of audio that have lingered over the past few days that I didn't get a chance to get to.
Do you have to let them linger?
Do you have to?
Yeah. You have to.
You have to.
You have to let them linger.
But here are a couple of musical clips that we didn't get to. There's one of Korn.
Yes.
Doing their version of Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Give a listen.
Okay.
I won't give you any prejudgment.
Right. I want to hear this. Here we go.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he's way behind and he's willing to make a deal. The boy said, my name's Johnny and it might be a sin, but I take that bet and you're going to regret because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, rising up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
How could you not love any version of that song?
It's clearly a tribute. They clearly dig the song. It's got the spirit.
Oh, my God.
They did a great job.
That's great. I've always loved that song. A thumbs up on that, for sure. Yeah.
Is there ever any, slowed down, melodic singy version of
that? Tony Bennett did one.
Well, yeah, something like that.
Devil went down to Georgia. No, I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder if someone could kick up a ballad version of The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
But to sing it melodically instead of... It's almost a rap of sorts.
Yeah.
And in fact, Charlie Daniels had a great song called Uneasy Rider, which is... It's all talk as well. And it's very, very funny. It's about this guy, this kind of hippie guy with long hair that drives down south. He was making his way across the country, and he ends up in a bar in a country town. He's in the wrong place, and all of a sudden he realizes he better do something or he's going to get his ass kicked.
Right.
It's a very funny story. It's a great song.
You guys have referenced a few times, but I don't think I've ever heard the audio of the dub that you had. Maybe it was at Y100 where the devil went down to Jersey. Is that what the story is? Am I getting it right?
No, it's so, yeah, we don't have it anymore.
Okay,
it didn't make it past the first smell test. Yeah. So Jim Johnson was an intern of ours, and they were talking about the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
And so he
made that.
It's the song, the actual song of Charlie Daniels, and it's the opening line. He goes, devil went down to, and all he did was fade it down and go, Jersey.
Yeah.
So you have Charlie Daniels going to devil went down to, and then Jim Jersey fading down the music, just going, here, we'll do it here.
Okay.
I'll do my best. And we have to do this live, and I can't rewind it. So, see if I can get this right, all right? This is what it went like, exactly.
Okay.
The devil went down to
Jersey. And that was it.
That was his whole effort.
The whole thing. We're like, wow, you really went above and beyond for that one, didn't you? But it led to some, we busted on it so hard, it ended up being funny. All right, so there was a group that did a swing version of a Nirvana song.
Yes.
Any idea who this is, Steve?
Oh, God. You know, I don't have it in front of me, but they've done a few things.
There, I ruined it.
Yes.
Is that the name of the band?
Or that might be the name of the series or whatever.
Okay.
All right. So I guess they take songs and they twist them and do something that's totally
a swing approach to Nirvana. Yeah.
All right. Let's listen to this.
To the video.
Oh, Oh, they did?
Yes, they mashed it to the MTV video.
So he's, you can see
it's Kurt Cobain singing.
So it's kind of like the, yeah, it's like the Creed shreds and stuff like that. I gotta see this. All right, I think I might like. I think I might like that bit. Oh, that
did it. Wait, the whistle.
That's all right, guys. I love that. Whatever the siren whistle is. Is it coming up?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
The Kings of Grunge.
I gotta
watch. Like a swing band.
I gotta watch that video. So it's called "There I Ruined It."
Yeah,
On YouTube if you want to see it. All right, our guest is on the line.
There we
He's
go.
Ready to go. He's got a book out, and I love the title. You look so much better in person. You know, the backhanded compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, I guess. Yeah. But you've known him for ages. 40 years in broadcasting. Please welcome. There's only one, ladies and gentlemen, Al Roker.
Yeah.
On the show. Hey, hey, how you doing, Al?
Doing well. You know, just thrilled that people have been really nice about you look so much better in person, even if it is, as you said, a backhanded compliment. But I hear it every day. And so my editor said, when I told her that story, she said, boom, there you go. That's the title of your book.
Is it still at this point? I mean, you lost weight, you know.
Ages ago.
I thought you always looked good. But, I mean, you know, you had the weight loss, which was, and you worked hard at it. And do you still, to this day here, are people still unaware you had such a massive transformation?
No, I don't know that they, I don't think it's about the weight. I think it's the face. I think that's what.
Really?
I think they're scared. They're scared.
Al,
we might be losing you.
We're losing you. Are you still there, Al? Yeah, we lost him.
That was a
great interview, man.
Hey, Al Roker,
everybody. Yeah. Yes.
Wait, he's back on.
Oh, there he is.
Al.
I'm back.
Okay, good.
Hey. So,
sounds like you were breaking up. All right, anyway, I'm sure you get that. I mean, it's just part and parcel of being, you know, in broadcasting so many years. People always say something along those lines. But what decided you to take or made you decide to take pen to paper and put this whole thing together now?
Well, I'm getting old. I'm afraid I'm not going to remember it much longer.
Yeah.
So I thought, Let me write this stuff down. So we decided, you know, look, like you said, 40 years, you learn certain things along the way, whether you like it or not. And so we divided it up into little chapters called altruisms. And you know, just kind of come up with some thoughts about, you know, life that gets you through. Like, for me, the thing is, you don't say no, you say yes, because you never know what opportunities are around the corner. And what's the worst that can happen? I mean, you know, maybe you don't succeed, or maybe it's not as successful as you want, but maybe it's going to be something that you just never imagined it could be as amazing as it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so the reviews of the book are very good, and they're pointing out that the altruisms and the fact that you can apply real life experience to support what you're saying. I think also you share something, I mean, we do with you. You know, our world is the early morning, and so, you know, that gives you, you start the day off, you're processing the news of the day. There's a whole skill set that develops, you know, with that morning schedule. Were you always a morning person prior, or did you have to work hard to get you to that frame of mind?
I was always a morning person. When I was a kid, my dad was a bus driver, and I would get up with him at like 5 a.m.
Wow.
And have breakfast. I had an ulterior motive, because I got up, had breakfast with him, and then my mother would come down and make breakfast. I'd have another breakfast. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, until it didn't. But one of the things I say, everybody should get up an hour before they need to, because that's the most productive hour of your day. There are no phone calls. There are no emails. The kids aren't bothering you. Nothing. If you get up an hour before, I guarantee you it will change your life.
Okay. Is that one of the altruisms that's in the book?
That is one of the altruisms. Absolutely.
Yeah, we can verify that. There's a lot. It's astonishing because years before I ever did radio or morning radio, I was doing stand up, and so I was getting home at the time I now wake up. So it's a different animal. But I really do enjoy it. You're right. The productivity level is off the charts. I wanted to ask you. So now you do the third hour in the Today Show routinely, and you're doing it with Chanel now, correct?
Yes, that's right. Who was a big anchor in Philadelphia?
Yes, she was. Yeah, yeah,
we
she's
used to do a
awesome.
Regular weekly check-in segment with Chanel. She's fantastic.
Oh, I love working with her. Her enthusiasm, her excitement. She's funny. And the funny thing I said about Chanel, though, I said, if you ever broke your hands, you wouldn't be able to talk.
We have a boss that's like that.
Yeah.
It's just gestures to everything.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like they're doing semaphore all the time.
Hey, Al, if this career had not worked out the way that it has, and by that I just mean television in general, did you have a backup plan? Did you have another passion or something else that would have been a way for you to go in life?
Well, yeah, the interesting thing is, and maybe it's not that interesting, but I put it in the book, so I hope it's interesting. I never wanted to be on TV. I wanted to be a writer or a producer, or I wanted to do what you guys are doing. I wanted to do radio.
Huh.
And I had a department chairman who put me up for this weekend weather job, and I thought, okay, I'll do this until another gig comes along. But throughout a good portion of my career, I did morning radio also. Like in Cleveland, I was like a co-host of a morning radio show on this station called WGTL. Ended the 5, 6, and 11 o'clock weather.
That's wild.
At what point did it become a passion, a pleasure during that?
Last week.
Last week you realized it's actually enjoyable.
Better late than never.
Yeah. It's when Chanel came to NBC. Yeah,
that was exactly it. That was it. I love her.
Yeah, she's great. So at this point now, with what you've done and all you've accomplished quite a lot. You're part of television history. Is there a big pivot somewhere? Are you looking for a huge bucket list career turn to take place, or are you happy with keeping things as they are?
I'm not a plan. I'm always amazed at these people who have five-year plans. Are you serious? 5 years? Okay. Oh, by the way, I was working out during the pandemic and an economic meltdown. How are things going right now? No, you just, I mean, look, you don't want to do stupid stuff, right. But I feel like you leave yourself open to saying yes. If I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have had the role in Waitress the Musical. I my first thought was maybe Noah. Why would I do that? And my daughter, who saw it with me, and she was at the LaGuardia School of Performing Arts, you know, the Fame School. She said, "Dad, who says no to Broadway? You know, you're right. I'm going to say yes."
Yeah.
And it was one of the most rewarding experiences of my life.
And it's hard for people to get that notion, but I mean, the one thing that's certain is that this will all come to an end for all of us at some point. So you might as well get as much out of it as you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nice. Well, congratulations on the book. The reviews are great, and this kind of stuff is a positive, especially when there's so much that is bringing people down right now. So I think it came at the perfect time.
Hey, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I'll tell Chanel you said hello.
Please do. All right, thank you. Al Roker, guys.
Yeah.
And the book is called You Look So Much Better in Person. But he's right. I like that idea of being open to saying yes.
I've done that a number. Well, morning radio was that. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I know. Right?
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, me too.
No.
It was the exact same way. But, you know, sometimes it can work out for
well,
the
maybe that I've always wanted to do Yesvember instead of November. So maybe that'll be the thing that I do this November.
What is Yesvember? What does that mean to you?
Just say yes to everything. Well, at first it started out with a...
like Yes Man, the Jim
Carrey
movie.
That's what I was saying. Not a very good movie. I didn't enjoy it that much, but I liked...
You sure said no to that.
The idea of no matter what, without other people knowing this,
right,
if they know it, then you're going
to... You're going to end up giving a lot of hummers.
Exactly. Yeah, sure, all right.
All right.
But yes, of actually, when faced with a yes or no decision, opting for the yes every single time.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea first started with, it was just a word. And, and it was like, all right, well, what can we make this be? And I the first idea I had was maybe
Timber?
No. That it would be like an all request month promotion where somebody requests a song and you have to say yes and you have to play it.
Yes, Vember.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Herman Munster just arrived.
Jesus.
He says what it sounded
that
like.
Stupid door.
Squeaky ass door. It sounded like their staircase when it would open up in the Munsters. But that was Pierre Robert making his way into the Preston and Steve studio. How you doing?
Well, we got squeaky doors.
We got big time squeaky doors.
Now, in Studio 4F, the main broadcast studio for the radio station, the clock is on high speed. The clock took meth. And,
still?
And every minute it goes about 15 minutes in every minute. So it's constantly moving. And it broke about 3 weeks ago. So you've got to give things patience.
All right.
Patience. you've got to have patience.
But now you know how a dog sees a clock like that.
Exactly, Steve. Steve always puts things in perspective.
In a school or a business where the what do you call it? Not digital clock, but the regular analog clock, all of a sudden just skips ahead and starts going, the second hand spin around.
That's what our clock
is
doing.
It scares me a little bit.
Well, they used to do
it. Even though I know it's perfectly, it's a maintenance thing, but it scares me. A la the Twilight Zone, there's something weird is going on.
I'm now old. I'm an old man now.
I know. It's very bizarre.
I was in 10th grade when I got here.
Mm-hmm. So can we requisition a letter from you, sir?
I love that word.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter...
A as in... Annabelle.
Ah!
Annabelle.
All right.
Annabelle.
We have from Stateside Vodka, four handles of vodka and two bottles of Stateside limited release bourbon. Both items are available now for guaranteed 24-hour delivery to Philly and the PA suburbs for four fast one-hour cars. Curbside pickup. This is statesidevodka.com for details. Must be 21. The reason I find it funny is just because Bill doesn't find it funny.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't.
That's why I find it so funny. I'm sorry. No one gets it. No one understands the joke.
Yeah. Everyone gets it except him.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just didn't mean to interrupt, but Jackie Bam Bam, he heard requisition. It only took him a minute.
Texted
me, requisition. Whoa.
When I say words that he likes, he texts Casey about it.
You got a whoa as well?
I got a whoa.
Requisition.
Yeah. Whoa. He even almost spelled it right.
Well, Jackie is a master of the... he graduated from the Jersey Shakespeare School.
Yes.
And often speaks...
Shakespeare.
In a Shakespearean tone, as Steve imitates well. So there you have it.
Yeah. All right. So we got the letter. We're good there. What's coming up on the program today, Saw?
You threw him off of that one.
Yeah. It was then when Pierre realized he didn't have a clue.
He glanced down the paper and just stared at it for a moment.
I was just trying to... Get it together, officer.
Does that ever work?
No. A friend of mine got pulled over.
I'm sorry, officer. I've been drinking.
Well, a friend of mine who was in a rock band and his one of his musicians got pulled over at the break of dawn, and they had been smoking a device and had gotten down to the very bottom of said cigarette, and it fell between the seats. So they pulled off of the freeway or the expressway or turnpike, whatever it might have been, and both of their heads are down on the floor looking for the burning ember when they came at the door and they looked up and it's a state trooper. And they stood up at it, or they sat up at attention and rolled down the window with a little plume of smoke came out the window. And... the officer looks at them. It must have been a change of shifts or something. And he goes, what's going on here? And my friend, with the luck of the Irish, said, just getting it together, officer. And he goes, get out of here.
That's cool.
So that's one of my sayings. On the show today, we'll have Billy Joel for his birthday, Cagey Elephant, and Incubus.
All right. Did you say Billy Joel?
Yeah.
Nice. Is it his birthday?
Yeah.
How did we miss that?
What? No, it's not. No.
Or maybe it's not his birthday today.
Let's find out.
But I thought it was his birthday today.
Okay. We're doing a block of Billy Joel because I thought it was his birthday
today. Well, I thought Putty Cat.
May 9th.
May 9th.
It was May 9th.
Hold on.
It's a listener's birthday, and it was requested. So no, it is not Billy's birthday. Yes.
And that's why you have a producer.
That's right.
He knew birthday was in there somewhere.
I knew birthday was in there. Just trying to get it together, officer.
That's it. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pierre. Thank you to our sponsors. Preston Steve Show is brought to you today by Hers, the official chip of taking your summer to the next level. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and by City Auto Park. Shop the summer clearance event for sizzling hot discounts. Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, City.com. Tomorrow on the program, Jerry O'Connell.
I love Jerry O'Connell.
Excellent. We'll talk to him. And
you know what else we're doing?
We're double dutching.
We're double dutching. And we'll try
the Chinese jump rope. Right. Yeah, we'll see if we can get a hold of one of those.
All right,
that's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
How about you fix the light at the Pike and Lawrence Road? Because we seriously got a 3-second turn signal. Are you shitting me? That's ridiculous.
Next message.
Preston and Steve, you are the catalyst to my life. You guys get me started in the morning. You keep me laughing my ass off all day long. And then just as I'm laying in bed about to go to sleep, I'm f***ing cracking up at some Steve said. You guys rock, man.
Next message.
Chad Mayberry, you're going to be the one that saves me. And after all, you're my sweaty balls.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.